What's happening out there? How y'all doing on this great weekend? Oh, it's not the weekend, it's Monday, isn't it? Man, feels like a weekend to me because woo, I'm having me some fun. Alright, y'all. Alright. We got a show for you today. You hear me? Yes, we do. And let's get it right. If you're weak in the mind and you just don't put it this way, it's going to be a hot and popping show, okay? So if you're sensitive to certain things, as to feelings and names and what's going on in the world today, you may not want to listen to the show today unless you have, you know, got your cup of coffee or something. Because we got something that's going on. We're going to be talking about a little girl that was murdered down in Jacksonville, Florida. We're also going to be talking about the hot topic today, and that's the George Zimmerman case. Yeah, charged with second-degree murder of Trayvon Martin. Yes, those are all the things. And that's it. That's what we're going to be talking about on Soapbox Monday. So, I hope y'all ready, because we have a lot to talk about. In fact, my grain, I see you out there in the chat real bad, and my grain has started already. See what I'm saying? That's how I know it's going to be a hot show, because my grain come in already. Talking about the Zimmerman case. And thank you for joining us too, my grain. You ride or die too, I see. I like that. Although you can be controversial at times, you still ride or die. You with me, I like that. Alright, so you know what, my grain, usually I reserve this for Benny, but you know what, my grain, I'm going to let you handle the chat room today for me. You know, keep them in line, all right? Keep them in line on topic. All right, y'all, welcome to the show today. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk, and it is, as we call it, Soapbox Monday. Well, usually we let the caller decide what we're going to talk about, but today I'm going to decide what we talk about because, hey, there's some things going on out there, and we really need to get it on and start talking about it. Because people out there are tripping, man. I mean, some of you parents, y'all scary. Y'all really are. Y'all, some of these parents out there are scary. And we gonna touch on that in a hot minute also. Oh, my goodness. So how was y'all weekend? Was it nice? I'm telling you, it was nice and warm and, oh, man, comfortable here. You know, relaxed, watched some movies, went to, you know, basketball games. I just chilled a lot. I did. But you know what? It was all good. It was all good. Oh, man, I'm telling you. But it's Monday now. Time to go back to the old, as the old commercial used to say, time to make the donuts. Oh, that Dunkin' Donuts? Yeah, I think so. Dunkin' Donuts, you say that. Time to make the donuts. Well, let them make the donuts. You know what I mean? All right. So that was the weekend, man, I tell you. And today is that, you know what, today is starting out just the same also, nice and chilled, and we just relaxing, maxing and relaxing, chilling out. But like I said, we got some things going on today, and I hope y'all ready. Into knowledge, I see you out there, bro. Thank you for joining us today. Now I'm going to send you an email later on this afternoon. We need to get together on some things. But, you know, as I was mentioning before, you know, it's a nice weekend. You know, the weekend was good. Nothing terrible happened to me. So that's even a better thing. My child went to a basketball tournament. He played. They won one game out of three. Hey, you know, he's learning lessons as he played. Oh, that's a good thing. And I'm there to encourage him. Of course, he got to get the grades done also. Never let them play without getting them grades done. Lord have mercy. All right. Anyway, so that's what's happening with me. Oh. All right. So, look, this is what we're about to do, y'all. We're going to go on and get into, you know, our preliminary things. And, yeah, my grain, they did. And you know what? I'm going to touch on that a little bit, too, why they actually punked out of that affirmative action thing. It's a reason behind it, and I kind of agree with them on it. But anyway, look, it's like this, y'all. Let's go on and get the house rules out the way, song of the day and the quote of the day out the way, and then we're going to go on and get on with the get on. Of course we are. All right, house rules. Act as an adult. When you call this show, please act as an adult. Okay, I shouldn't be having to tell you, all right, you're out of order, or other callers should say, personal attack. See, y'all don't understand about the personal attack things, but the regulars do. They know if you personally attack anybody on my show, you're going to get handled. That's all right, we don't have the name calling all that stuff. You can attack the subject, something that's said. Heck, attack yourself if you want to, but you will not attack another caller on this show. We don't have it. We will not allow it. So if that's what you're all about, get over it. Find it and do it somewhere else. It's just that simple. No, this is an adult show, no doubt. And we do say adult things on this show. So if you're a little sensitive, y'all don't know. You may want to cover your ears at times. I'm putting it out there because it's true. See, I can see, you know, I can see if I never put it out there and let you know what I expect of my callers when I call in. But I put it out there every day. I do. So, you know, I do. But I do encourage open dialogue. Once you call in and you made your initial statement or comment, your mic is left open. Because I want to hear I want to hear you interact with other callers. I do. That what makes this show work. That what makes this show go on. And I encourage that. But you will respect other people's turn to speak. Respect their mic time just like they respect yours. It's not hard. But sometimes you make it hard. Of course, we don't want no 10 to 15 minute dissertations either. You know, don't go all the way around the mulberry bush when you can step right in and cut the hedge off. Duh. Come on, y'all. And, of course, the no personal attack thing. Don't do that, please. I'm not working with the personal attack. All right? If I don't want to personally attack anybody, it's my show, then you shouldn't be attacking anyone else either. Okay? And those are the rules of the house. Now, you know, I'm sure the regulars, the crew will call in and remind you once you do it. You know, they're funny sometimes. But they will remind you if you violate any of these rules. And they know the sound. They know the sign when you done got zapped. Oh yeah. They sound and got heavy handed. I haven't gotten that heavy handed with it yet, have I? I don't know. But you know, if you act up, hey, it's gonna happen, all right? Goofy, I see you out there, bruh. I hope you're enjoying your lunch or your doobie or whatever you're working on right now. But I'm sure I'll hear from you soon. All right. Now, here we go. The quote of the day. Now, this quote of the day was sent to me by a very, very, very dear friend, person close to me, very, very close to me. And I read it, and I said, oh, man, this sounds good. It sounds good. This is a good one, though. This is a good one. Here's the quote of the day. Life's not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And that quote was by Vivian Green. Vivian Green. And that makes so much sense to me. So much sense. Life's not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. Do I need to say more? That sort of goes up with a saying I have when it's pouring down rain and you're on the highway. It's like that. And I always say, don't stop. Just keep going. Just keep going. And here's the reason why. The same way you drove in, the same way you'll drive out. You understand that? And that's the same as this quote of the day right here. Life's not without waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. That's right. Don't let it stop you. Enjoy it. Make it work for you. Woo! Look out now. Look out now. Look out now. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there. All right. That was the quote of the day. And now the song of the day. Hey, I'm telling you. Y'all know how I am. I find songs and I say, yeah, that'd be good for today. And I feel the same way about this one. that's right, Goofy, dancing in the rain already. All right, so the song of the day, I hope it's going to make you take a look at yourself. All right? That's all I'm going to say about the song of the day right now. But without further ado, here it is, y'all, the song of the day. All right, we're having some technical difficulties here. Wait a minute. I think we're going to get it. It's acting kind of lazy today. There it is.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And I turned up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat. This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street without enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them?
All right, y'all, there it was. This song of the day, Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. That was the song, Man in the Mirror. All right. Song of the day. Here it is. We ready now. That was it. All right, I'm reading in the chat room. I see some things going on. Woo! Yeah. And you know what? We may have to go down and visit Mr. Eminem and see what his problem is with messing with y'all. You know, he messed with y'all, he messed with me. So I see y'all out there. I hear you. Hey, the goofy shoot the particulars later on, man. And we can handle that thing for you with you, okay? All right, y'all. Here it is. We good now. And I see somebody got their hand up already. We ain't even started talking yet, but I know who it is. He's been in the mountain for the weekend. He done came out. He's ready. I'm ready. So let's bring Joe in from the Montana.
What's up, there Joe? I am. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, sir?
Not bad. How was the weekend?
Oh, the weekend was lovely, nice and warm and relaxed. Well, really, I didn't do anything but watch movies and do a little research for the show. But, you know, it was good, though. It was really, really good.
All right. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two days in the sun. 2 days relaxing, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I have to do that on the weekends because during the week, my head be hurting sometimes dealing with y'all. Let me stop.
Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't blame us.
No, I'm not going to blame y'all. You know what? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Just like y'all miss me when I'm not on there, I miss y'all too. I'll be like, man, I know I should be doing something now. I should be on the air or something. I don't hear nobody talking in my ears.
Hold on, let me
bring Goofy in.
Okay.
All right, Goofy, what's going on, man?
Hey, happy Monday, everyone. How's it going?
Hey, Goof.
Yeah, I see you having some of your people had some issues last night with somebody, huh?
I guess. I don't know. I have to listen to the archives. That Mr. Midnight movie, he's an idiot, so I don't even know why people even stress off that guy. I mean, he's the one that cries about Mr. Solutions all the time, but yet everywhere Mr. Solution goes, he's over there trying to talk to him. So, I mean, seriously,
let's wake up and
realize that this guy's an idiot and just complains about why his life is not perfect like the other whites are. And that's
Uh-oh.
It.
Oh,
I
okay.
like Brian.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, Joe. Don't say him too many more people
I
there.
I do like him. I'm not saying he's not misguided, but I like him. He's a very honest guy. He's a very forthright guy. But he's misguided, but I like him. I mean, there's very few people who are as honest as he is. I mean, if you criticize him, he'll accept the criticism. So I like the guy.
All right.
Are you talking about Mr. Midnight movie?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're going to criticize, I mean, the guy already knows that he's a pathetic loser and he needs to stop worrying about others and concentrate on himself. But, you know.
Well, the bad thing is.
I don't want to waste any more time. This is your show, Mr. Talk, and I don't want to bring the Blog Talk Radio late night drama into this. So,
all right. Well, thank you, Goofy. I was about to say that. Speaking of misguided individuals, there was a horrific murder in Jacksonville, Florida, over the weekend, where an 8-year-old girl was killed, and the circumstances really. How can I put it? Peed me off. Okay. And here's what it was. The mother met this guy Okay. He's 56. He was 56-year-old white male. And the guy offered to buy clothes for the family. So what happened was they went ahead and, you know, went to Walmart. The guy was buying the clothes. So in the middle, okay, she met the guy first at a local Dollar General store. And he offered to take the family to Walmart to buy them some clothes. So after being inside Walmart a couple of hours, he decided, you know, he wanted to take them to get something to eat. Well, and, you know, because everybody know it has, you know, most McDonald's has, I mean, most Walmarts have McDonald's on the inside. So, you know, he took the child and they went to offer to go buy some hamburgers and they went. Well, he walked to the front of the store. He took the 8-year-old victim with him. He walked to the front of the store toward the McDonald's, but of course he never stopped at McDonald's. He walked outside, got in his van, and left the location. Now, here's my thing. This guy was 56 years old. He was a registered sex offender who was just released from custody on May 31st of this year. Now, here's the other thing. The police department had just went by his residence that same day to make sure his address was correct. And then this afternoon, that afternoon, he takes an 8-year-old girl, strangles and kills her. Now, here's my thing. What the hell was the mama thinking of? You know, you just met this man. Why did you let your child leave with a stranger you have no idea about?
Let me tell you something, Mr. Talk. This happens all the time. Why? Because these bitches, these bitches are blinded. And yes, she is a bitch for letting her daughter get killed. Where are the fucking parents? Seriously. Hmm. Where is the real mother and fucking father? See, she is so blinded that an idiot's going to just, you know, come out of from heaven and just bless her with all these gifts. She is so blinded that she would just do anything. And I'm dead serious. There are women out there. I mean, I fuck some of these women. I know that they would fucking do, you know, I'd buy one of my chicks a TV. Because she had, you know, one of those old beat-up-ass TVs. You had to hit it on top to, you know, make the picture right. So I felt bad for her. So I bought her, you know, a 32-inch flat-screen TV. Okay?
Right.
She lives in a ghetto part of the area, but she trusts everybody. So one day she takes off and decides to leave her door unlocked. Yeah, you know, somebody decided to go in and take her wonderful TV. Hmm. And then she cries to me expecting I'm going to come and, you know, replace it with another one. And it's like, let's be honest here. You get a gift, you should be appreciated for that gift. You know what I mean? And for women like this mother to just be blinded by this, you know, stupidness. I mean, another thing, I told millions of people, once you fuck up with, like, sex offend, you know, messing around with little kids, once you're a sex offender, I'm sorry. You don't belong in society anymore. Because I don't care if they'll say that, oh, I changed and all that shit. Half of the time, those guys don't change. 10, 15 years down the road, it'll come back out. And that urge where they'll want to do it again. And I don't know why these laws and all these government people care so much about what the hell's going on outside of our house than what's happening inside. And I'm talking about the United States of America. You know what I mean? They should be taking care of their damn own to prevent stuff like this, man. This hurts me, Eric, because this shouldn't have happened.
My point
this
is that.
This should have not happened.
In no way. I mean, you know, and I just, you know, and once I read it and I heard about it, I was like, really? Well, what was the mother really thinking here? I mean, I understand you was getting close to your family. That's fine. But to let your child leave with a man you just met and you don't know? Really? I mean, what was she thinking? At least offer to, you know, go with him or something. But just let your 8-year-old daughter leave because he buying you some clothes and now he want to buy your daughter some hamburgers? Really? You know,
she's blinded.
Well, look,
man.
You know, I'm not exactly a fan of most females, but I have to find out more facts in the case. Let's say, for example, they were going towards McDonald's. They picked out a table. And he says, why don't I go up and order food for us? And the mother says, okay. And so he looks like he's going up towards the counter, and he says, well, Sherry, why don't you come with me?
Joe. Okay, they had been in the Walmart shopping for clothes.
Yeah.
After a couple, for at least a couple of hours. After a couple of hours. Okay. After a couple of hours, the guy, you know, offered to buy them hamburgers.
Right.
So, he walked toward the McDonald's, because, you know, most Walmarts have McDonald's in them. He walked toward the McDonald's and took the 8-year-old girl with him.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't say anything about the mother, where the mother was, or anything like that. Apparently, she wasn't with him because he walked toward the McDonald's and walked out the door.
He never made it to McDonald's. That's my point.
The mother was in the woman's aisle throwing everything that fits her into the cart. And I'm dead serious. That's where the mother was. She didn't care. Go ahead. Go get some McDonald's. And you can give me a burger, too. I got to see if this fits me. You know what I mean? And I see all this all the time because you go to Walmart. I mean, I'm not a fan of Walmart. I only go there because my hair gel is way cheaper than anywhere else. So I see, like, maybe, an Antoinette with a white man who's just, you know, buying them everything. And I'm telling you, they're not buying one item they're buying like 4 or 5 items of the same product. They're stocking up because, you know, they'll maybe lick this guy's pole and, you know, send him off, but they got what they needed, right?
Right.
I mean,
okay.
I'm dead serious. This is how women think. And that poor little innocent girl, I mean, nobody ever thinks of what that little girl could have grown up to be. She could have grown up to be the cure. The person that cured AIDS or some crazy disease. Nobody thinks of that. These children that die, they don't have a say so of how they're going to grow up in life because their life was taken from them, and it's sad. And that's why I hate what's going on nowadays, and no one's paying attention to this shit. Everybody cares about Paula Deen and her stupid N-word saying and all that crap. Everyone's so on that. And you know what the funny thing is? I'm glad that woman got fired because that woman created obesity, diabetes, because a lot of people believed in what she was cooking was healthy. But obviously, if someone's cooking with diabetes, they're feeding you diabetes. And it's sad. And I'm glad that happened to her.
You know what?
And I'm sorry. I'm going to roll my blood, Mr. Todd. I'm sorry. I'm just so frustrated. I'm pissed off right now.
But you know what, Goofy? I'm with you on that. You know, and I just mentioned this story because parents, you know, use common sense here. Pay attention to your babies. Whether you know the person or not, keep your baby next to you. You know, single mothers, I know old boy, he out there probably slinging Peter all up in you, and you think you keep your babies close to you. Don't trust people you don't know. Hell, half the time you can't trust the people you do know, let alone talking about a total stranger. Come on. You have a brain. It's there for a reason. Try using it. This was a senseless death because a parent failed to do one of the basic things that parents do. Take care of your children. Okay? Being a parent isn't about being being a parent is about being unselfish. You know, unselfish. Sometimes you sacrifice, but damn it, don't let them go walking off because somebody just freely offered to Lord, let me calm down. You know, offered to buy you clothes and a couple of hamburgers. Really? Wow, that's crazy. Well, okay, I'm through with that. Antoinette says, you hear about the mother who held her daughter down while her man raped the little girl? Yeah, I heard about that. I haven't looked into that any further. But that's just another example of how low and sorry and just despicable this country has become. You know, that's just sorry. And I feel that all of them should be placed in a damn Lion's Den. That's where they need to go, a Lion's Den. Hell, if they don't
do
anything more than
that. Seriously, what satisfaction do you get? I mean, this little kid ain't got no ass, no tits, or any fucking thing. I mean, dead serious, that's what fucking hookers are out there for. If you got to get a fucking your sexual frustrations out, just pay a couple of bucks and go fuck the living shit out of her.
Well,
oh, God, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, Eric, thank God that my neighborhood doesn't have these people, because I'd be the first one to kill them. And
you
I would do
you...
it so perfectly that they would never find that motherfucker again. Jesus.
All right. I see Goofy on it today, y'all. And as far as Paula Deen, look, y'all, Paula Deen made enough money to where being fired is not going to hurt her. Number two, the Food Network was really trying to get rid of her anyway before this thing came up, because she hid from them. She had diabetes, but she was cooking everything in butter and what have you, which they think promoted, you know, other people being overweight and having hypertension. And this just gave them way out, because she probably violated some moral value clause in her contract. And they say, well, we can't fire you, but we don't have to renew your contract. So Paula Deen is going to be okay. Trust me. She got a restaurant down in Georgia that's just going to make more people go and want to see her. So she's going to be okay. All right. Enough of that. That's good. I'm going to let Goofy calm down and see Joe. Joe, you all right?
I'm just waiting for you two to calm down.
Oh, okay. You waiting on us two to calm down? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know,
I'm
just
sorry,
wanted to
everybody.
Mention that. No,
you're
good.
I'm just sorry.
And you know, because I want to get on to the big thing, the Zimmerman case today. You know, the opening
opening remarks.
Didn't say it. Yeah. Right. And some things, that, man, I tell you. You know, oh, man, the defense, I don't know about them, man. They got, oh, boy, opened with a joke, a knock-knock joke. He opened with, and
okay.
It wasn't funny.
Okay.
It was like, knock-knock, who's there? George who? George Zimmerman. And then what he said, no, knock-knock, who's there? George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman who? Glad you on the jury. That was it.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, I got to
hear
the audio.
I thought they had an F-word in there.
I got to hear the audio.
No.
I thought they had an F-word in there.
No, he had no F-word in there. But, I mean, that's the jury, man. But, I mean, that was just like, really? You know, this man is on trial for his life, and that's what you open with? Woo,
I know,
man.
That makes a bad impression. I have to hear the audio. I mean, you would think that he had some kind of strategy behind it, but I have to hear the audio, because if the audio is the way you described it, the guy is an idiot.
But
I'm sorry.
I want to play this clip right here, okay? And dang it, you know what? It's the wrong clip, but it'll do. I know he apologized, but
that the F word part was when he was the prosecutor. He said like fucking punks, but no, he was using that when George Zimmerman or whatever.
He was repeating it.
So that's where I was saying the F word. But I'm sorry.
Before we get deep into it, I'm gonna play this clip I have. It's about 9 minutes long. And it has some commentary, but I just want you to listen to basically the call he made to the 911 that night, and I may let the commentary play out. I don't know. We'll see. But here it is, the Zimmerman 911 clip.
Well, there's an update in the Trayvon Martin story. You know, if you guys don't remember, he's a 17-year-old African-American kid who was walking home from a convenience store. He had bought candy and iced tea, and then a neighborhood watch male ended up shooting him for no apparent reason. But they have actually released the audio tapes of the 911 calls from that day, and now his parents are calling for a federal investigation because they don't trust the Florida Police Department that was originally handling the case. And we actually have some of the audio for you guys to listen to.
We've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy. It's Retreat News Circle. The best address I can give you is 111 Retreat News Circle. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black. Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. He's here now. He's just staring.
Okay, he's just walking around the area.
At all the houses.
Okay.
Now he's just staring at me.
Okay, he said it's 1111 Retrieve You or 111?
That's the clubhouse.
That's the clubhouse. That's he's near the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
He's got his hand in his waistband. And he's a black male.
Okay. How old would you say he'd look?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him. Yep. He's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything, okay?
Here.
Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Okay. These assholes, they always get away. Shit, he's running.
He's running? Which way is he running?
Down towards the other entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
So as you can hear on the tapes, they
say. You playing any more, or is that it?
Is that it?
Eric.
Okay. Well, he's obviously Eric is not with us right now, so Joe has volunteered to take over the show since Eric is probably messing around with Block Talk Radio Switchboard.
Okay. No, whatever. I'm back.
Okay.
No, that's it. Look, I forgot to unmute myself.
Okay.
Look. Okay, yeah, I had to tase myself on that one, yeah. But, look, I was trying to read and type it all at the same time. But, you know, I didn't want to play the rest of it because it's commentary and basically before, you know, everything else went down, before he was arrested and all that good stuff.
Okay.
So, anyway, during that call, though, I heard something that really, really stood out. And I don't know if y'all paid attention to it.
Yeah, I know what you're going to refer to.
What I'm going to refer to.
These assholes all get away with everything.
No, that's what I'm
talking about.
Come on,
no. We're talking about the black or Hispanic.
But what I, no. Wait a minute. Why did the dispatcher ask, is he black or Hispanic?
And I think he asked.
Why did the dispatcher ask that? Okay,
well,
look, you're missing my point. Go ahead, Goofy.
I'll tell you why. Because the area that they're in is supposedly a white community. Okay? Supposedly.
Okay. Right.
All right. So, as Zimmerman was explaining that there are break-ins, whites usually don't break into whites in a white community. So, as the dispatcher is thinking, well,
uh-huh.
You know, maybe it's a black or Hispanic, you know? So, that's how they think, Eric.
I think the
guy
said
he's... think of the people who have the most percentages of break-ins. That's who they usually throw out. They can't just, you know, list out Asian, white, or, you know, Indian, or Navajo Indian, or, you know, the Indian with the dots on their head, or, you know, they can't list all of them. They have to list the ones that have the highest percentages in that area.
Why couldn't he say, okay, what is his race? What is the race of his race? Why did he specifically have to say black or Hispanic? And this is the dispatcher.
This is how they think.
I think
whatever
he said white,
percentage.
Black, Hispanic.
No, he didn't.
Okay, so.
And I looked at
okay,
him four times and he said black or Hispanic. He didn't say anything about white, Joe.
Okay.
Let me put out something for you, Eric. Okay,
uh-huh.
We have a white, a black, and a Hispanic on the phone. Okay? Now, they're going to look at me and you, Eric, more because of our, you know, racial ethnicity or whatever you want to call it, or minorities, okay? No matter what, okay? The whites have always been, you know, the nicer people. But yet our people have been, you know, always been, you know, the finger pointed at us. Regardless of if we're nice, if we're proper, if we're, you know, anything. That's how it works.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me let me bring Mr. Lowe in here. All right, Mr. Lowe, you on the air. What's going on, brother?
Oh, what's happening?
Hey, Lowe.
What's going on?
What's up, fellas? Hey, first and foremost, Joe was – hey, what's up, Goo? Joe was right. That man did say white, black, or Hispanic.
Okay. That ain't what I heard, but I'll go back and check again.
Check again.
Because I heard about four different versions, and I didn't hear white. But okay, Love, you say he said white. Okay. I'm going to go back and look.
And another thing, too, because, you know, this controversy has been around for about a year and a half. People have said inside that tape that he also said coon, too. I have a recording of the audio, and I haven't heard it.
Well, so, I haven't heard that one either.
Coon.
No, I heard it from people.
That's what supposedly
said. Now, remember when he said fucking punks? Wasn't that the part where he thought they said the coon? Wasn't that the part?
Yeah, but they said if you magnify it, you'll hear the word coon. I couldn't magnify my audio, but, you know.
Okay, well, see, that's the thing.
Joe, sound like you just enjoying saying coon to me. That's what it sounds like.
No, man, don't let me go there.
Oh, whatever. Anyway. Wait a minute.
All right. here we go. You know what? The lynch mob hasn't been eliminated yet because I know it's coming after me.
Okay. All right.
Right?
Anyway, anyway, you know, this whole thing is stink from the beginning, and you know it's going to continue to stink because nothing has happened so far. You know, if you know, let's put other faces on these people, and this would have been open and shut a long time ago. We all know this. Let's not kid ourselves. So, like I said, it's stinking right now. It's stinking very badly. You know, and something that stood out was why did that boy's parents not know he was dead? You know, what was it, a couple of days or longer before they even found out he was dead?
Because on the autopsy, it said unknown, you know, next of kin, unknown. It did say that on the autopsy.
Yeah, but the guy was going towards his father's house. He went and bought some Skittles and something else from the 7-Eleven or the convenience store.
He was shot. So who supposed to know who this kid is?
Are you saying that the parents did not know where the kid was for 2 days?
They didn't know where his body was at. They didn't know he was dead at first. I mean, worst case scenario, if someone gets shot in my neighborhood and, you know, the police is going to sweep through and ask everybody something, you know. Did you see something? Did you hear something? Blah, blah, blah. And if he was headed back toward his father's house, his father lived in that community right there then, the police never came by his father's house.
But for 2 days, the guy got shot, and the police, let's say he didn't have anything in his pocket to identify himself. They did not canvass the area for 2 days?
They did not go by those people's houses
really?
For a dance or whatever. Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The key thing in this trial is that the operator told him to, you know, do not pursue.
And not
now,
to
when
get
he
out.
And when he called him again, he was in his car, right, I think?
Well, actually when the operator told him that, he was already out of the car. He said, "Are you?" Because he heard him breathing and heard the air. So he was like, "Sir, are you following?" "Yes, we don't need you to do that."
Right.
Yeah, but I think
he was already out of the car following. Because remember, he says, "Oh, he's running."
Mm-hmm.
Now he's running, which means Trayvon Martin was running away from him.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean he was out of the car by that time.
Yes, I mean, let me tell you guys something.
They never indicated where the shot was on his body.
It was under his nipple, in his chest, under his nipple.
Yeah.
Under his nipple and his chest.
It penetrated his, it went through his lung, enlarged in his heart.
All right, so that was face-to-face. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go back to what Zimmerman said, that he was getting beat up by the guy, right?
Well, look, his defense attorney even said it during opening today. He was getting his behind beat. The defense attorney even said that today. He was getting his behind beat. They acknowledged that he was getting beat.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've always said, that this guy was getting beat. And instead of taking an ass whooping like a man, he had to pull the gun out and just, you know, take force.
I mean, why? Look, it's like this. Why are you getting out the car with a pistol and two flashlights? I'm still trying to figure out what he's doing with two damn flashlights. You know, and here's the thing. You know, he's supposed to be this big watch commander, but there's certain things that the police tell watch commanders to do. You know, and one of them is not to chase.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no, you didn't. You know, you
gotta
wait.
You talking about what at me? I'm just going to say, you talking about watch command. Hell, they got neighborhood watch all. We got neighborhood watch. And the person that's over here, it ain't no big time, nothing. It's just some bitch in the neighborhood that's a neighborhood watch.
Yeah, they call
them.
In this instance, they're trying to get away from that commander, and trying to portray him as a liaison.
Yeah.
You know, between him and the police department.
Yeah.
Apparently, but. But here's the thing: Zimmerman had been taking classes, you know, kickboxing, you know, the mixed martial arts defense thing, so. You know, I'm not understanding why he went out there with the gun.
No. Don't throw that on there, Mr. Ty. I've kicked so many people who know how to mix martial arts and all. I kick those motherfuckers out. They're just normal people. You know, if you have the speed, then yeah, maybe you have some, you know, advantage. But most of those people, man, you take a good hit, they're done. Seriously. I ain't no kung fu expert, but shit, I know how to knock you to the fucking ground, and that's just normal common sense. You don't need all these kicks and, you know, punches and, you know, strangle moves and all that other crap. But anyways, you know what the thing is that this guy got his ass beat. Plain and simple, he got his ass beat. And he decided to take it upon himself to fucking shoot this innocent kid.
How old is Zimmerman?
28.
28 years old. He got his ass whooped by a 17-year-old boy. And he's supposed to be the watch commander and this and that.
Exactly.
And he thought that he had the upper hand here, and he was going to bully this kid. And I don't know exactly what happened. I know this kid wound up getting killed. That's what I know. And I know he shouldn't have been in the vicinity of that boy because the dispatcher said stay the hell away from him. You know. You can try to run that stand your ground and this, but if the police dispatcher told you, hey, your ground is on North Fort Hood, you don't have any business in West Fort Hood.
Well,
you know what I'm saying.
According to the state of Florida versus George Zimmerman, affidavit of probable cause, they testified that Zimmerman was driving his vehicle, observed Martin, and assumed Martin was a criminal. Okay, because Zimmerman perceived that Martin was acting suspicious. You know, that's when he called and asked for a cop. So now we're going from this, we're talking perspective now, right? Now, nobody's mentioned that at one time Zimmerman actually wanted to be a policeman. You know, he had taken some criminal justice courses, and he had actually applied to be a police officer.
What happened?
Hey. He didn't make it.
I guess the watch commander is the best thing, huh?
Yeah, he didn't make it. So, you know, that's kind of the background that kind of lends to you know, kind of tilts it a little bit. But then again, you know, right now they're still trying to say he was out there, he shot him in self-defense. So, this is one of those cases that's going to be quite interesting. It really is. And y'all go ahead. I'm just saying my bit, but y'all can go ahead. You know, and, oh, wait a minute, before I go ahead, here go another one. Martin was on the phone with a friend, their little girlfriend, who they determined was not a girlfriend, but anyway, and described to her what was happening. The witness advised that Martin was scared because he was being followed through the complex by an unknown male and didn't know why. Martin attempted to run home but was followed by Zimmerman, who didn't want the person he falsely assumed was going to commit a crime to get away before police arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
was he following him on foot or by car?
Well, originally it was by a car, but he got out and started following him on foot. That's when you hear the wind blowing, because it was raining that night, which is a whole other thing. It was raining that night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and let's see. When the dispatcher realized Zimmerman was pursuing Martin, he instructed Zimmerman not to do that and that the responding officer would meet him. Of course, Zimmerman disregarded the police dispatcher and continued to follow Martin, who was trying to return to his home. And if you hear the recording, it actually says the dispatcher is constantly asking him, where can we meet you at? Where do you want to meet the cop at? And Zimmerman kept going saying, well, have him call me and I'll tell him where I'm at. So, you know, that's a little bit that needs to be explained anyway. But apparently Trayvon was trying to get away from him.
That's what
eventually, you know, I'm not going to lie. If I'm running from someone, eventually I'm like, man, I'm tired of this. Let me, you know, let's turn around and face this and see what's going to happen.
So he was Officer Zimmerman at that point. In his mind.
Yeah, I guess so.
No. Yeah. Common sense tells you that if someone's following you and it's bothering you so much, you're going to confront them. And I bet you that's where either, Zimmerman said something stupid to him, like, what the fuck you doing in my neighborhood or something. And, you know, as a kid,
he called him out. He called him out.
Yeah. So as a kid, you know, especially 17, you're going to hit 18 to be a young adult. You know, you're going to take offense of that. Hell yeah, you're going to take offense of that. So shit, he probably put the whooping on him. The kid was getting up, and then George Zimmerman grabbed his gun and just got him good. Trying to say that he attacked him or some bullshit. I think, because really, if someone's going to attack you, you're just going to shoot once. Don't you empty the clip if someone's really attacking you?
Well, supposedly he was on the ground. He got his hand.
but you know what, Joe? Goofy brings up a good point. You know, even you are on the ground, you know, if you're that afraid, you pumping everything you got. You know what I'm saying? Plus, you know, he already had, see, here's the other thing, he already had a round chambered.
Yeah.
Plus seven that he already had in the clip.
Yeah.
So why is he riding around with a loaded? You see what I'm
because
saying?
Because the neighborhood was robbed a few times in the past few months. Something like three times in the past 6 months.
Okay,
like that.
So what he's gonna do? What is he, Mr. Vigilante now?
Look,
the job of a watch commander or liaison is to see and report, observe, and call. It has nothing to say about trying to be a damn hero, which was he was trying to do.
I agree. He should not have gotten out of the car. If he's going to pursue him, maybe he should have pursued him using the car. The thing is, he also... either drove, what's his name, Trayvon Martin, or he was following him into a dead end. So Martin had no choice but to try to come out. So there was going to be a confrontation no matter what.
And he caused it by pursuing him.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have kept his distance like a watch person is supposed to, you're supposed to be watching. Not pursuing.
Thank you.
Keep your
and
distance.
No,
and
I would say you pursue.
But the person you think is a suspect.
No, Look, that's what he was told when they had their neighborhood watch. Your job is to, you know, observe.
Yeah, but if a guy goes around the corner,
and
you're not just supposed to, you're not just supposed to let him go around the corner.
Okay, so you sit in that one spot, and when the police get there, say he went around that corner right there. Why are you taking your behind around there?
Because to follow him.
Why?
Because if you're doing
because
neighborhood
these,
watch, you're
because
not, you're
these
not doing
guys always get
that.
Away with it, right? Because these guys always get away with it. So I'm going to go ahead and follow him and be Mr. Superhero and save the neighborhood.
To
right?
follow him doesn't bother me. To get out of the car when the dispatcher tells him, don't get out of the car, and he drives him or, you know, forces him into a dead end, there's going to be a confrontation. I don't have any problem with Zimmerman following him. If you're on neighborhood watch, in order to be effective, you can't just have your car in one place and hope that the criminals are going to do their shit right in front of you. If you see somebody suspicious and you're on neighborhood watch, you're supposed to go closer and find out who the person is. Now, the
what
real
deems
one,
someone to be suspicious first?
Well, he says that he was looking in houses.
I mean,
it's not a crime to go looking inside people's houses as you're walking. He doesn't know him. The neighborhood was robbed from like 3 times in 6 months. The guy was too stupid to be accepted into the police department. And if you know cops, they're kind of dumb to begin with. So if he's dumber than a normal cop, he's pretty fucking stupid. The thing is that I don't blame him for following the kid. But inside of that end area, now the issue becomes, did Trayvon
Joe.
Martin attack him,
Joe.
Or
okay.
did he attack Trayvon
okay. Joe.
Martin?
Joe, here's the thing. How do you go from going to the store and getting something for your lunch for work the next work week to following this young boy because he looks suspicious?
Well, if it's
really?
All, it's not all white neighbor because his father lived there. But if it's 90%, 95% white neighbor and you see a black kid who's walking, suppose you're in an all black neighborhood and you see some fucking white kid you've never seen before looking.
Ain't nobody gonna say a damn thing to him.
Oh, come on, a white kid in a predominantly black neighborhood.
Like I said, nobody's gonna say
nobody's
a damn
gonna say
thing
anything
to him.
Nothing.
You don't have to believe me. I've lived in plenty of black communities. I don't know about you, but I have. Nobody going to say a damn thing to him. He going to go on about his business. If he came over there to get some dope, if he came over there to play with some kid he knows or whatever, he going to go and do what he came to do and go on about his business.
Just like they did in Baltimore when the guy was there.
Wait, don't go from Florida to Baltimore.
Wait a minute, you said you live in plenty of black communities. So
I have.
Baltimore.
I've never been in Baltimore, though.
Okay.
Let's stay where we at.
But they have the audio. They have the visual and the video in Baltimore. Guy and his, what is it, his girlfriend or something, just walking down the street. They get attacked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
White guy,
so, you know.
Yeah, it's a white guy in a black Baltimore community.
Look,
okay.
Everybody's talking about this is a stand your ground case. Well, it's a self-defense case because once Zimmerman went into pursuit mode, stand your ground just doesn't apply, which, okay, I can kind of get with that. You know, more than 90% of blacks believe race played a role compared to 68% of whites and 74% of Hispanics. You know, so.
Well, 74% of Hispanics feel what? That race played a role?
Yeah, that race played a role. Yeah.
The only black people that didn't believe, that didn't feel that race played a role, were the ones that would call on to a show like this. Yeah, well, I love the police. I have no problem with the police. Yeah. I like them. That type of person. Would say that.
I don't know what black person would say that.
Well, he just gave you some statistics of that type of black person that would say that. The same one that would say, well, if you're not doing anything, then you don't have anything to worry about. What the fuck does that mean? If I'm minding my business, as I can do, being a citizen that I'm supposed to be, I don't have the right to just walk about and mind my business and go on. Somebody got to stop. I mean, this stop and frisk stuff. Man, this never happened to me, and I'm glad it hasn't. Especially when they get to calling me out my name and snatching on me, and it ain't happening. I mean, you get used to that shit, then it's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. But if things start happening behind the cops doing that shit, then, hey, it won't happen as much. I guarantee you it won't. So, well, let me pick your buzz.
You're the only Hispanic here. I mean, the reason why the Hispanics think that that's, you know, by race is because that's what's been happening to the good old Hispanics. Stuff like this has been happening, you know, for God knows how long. So they know that this is race related. It was judged. And you could tell in his voice while he's calling to the operator, saying, yeah, he looks like he's on drugs and all this other stuff. That poor kid wasn't even on drugs.
Yeah, that's
he was
true.
Just walking.
Yep.
Just,
right.
You know, being himself.
Yeah. You know, one thing that Goofy said himself that I know happens to people, the police will pick you up, whoop your ass, and drop you off in the wrong neighborhood to try to get you killed.
And you know why they do that? Because your injuries will say, well, he was in the wrong neighborhood. That's why he got
right.
his ass beat. And that
right.
covers up the police doing whatever the hell they want. And I'm
right.
dead
okay.
serious.
Before y'all get on that, let me ask this question. Since we're going into the police beating and all that. Now, the prosecutors, the defense attorneys, was trying to get certain phrases and things not used, such as racially profile or inveterate racial, vigilante, self-appointed neighborhood watch captain, wannabe cop, or he got out the car to put, yeah. So, why? Because that paints a picture of Zimmerman that they don't want to hear. However, they can, the prosecutors can use, I think me and Joe mentioned it earlier, they can use profile.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They just can't use racially profile. Huh?
What about the word hero, neighborhood hero, or great guy, family-oriented? They can use all that,
Well, I'm sure, you know, as the trial goes on, you will hear those terms, maybe.
Well,
maybe.
They'll probably hear those terms, but the ones you mentioned, they're probably just...
You can hit this motherfucker. Pull over. Fuck this, pull over. Pull your ass over.
Oh, Lord.
Son of a bitch. Pull your ass over.
What are you talking about?
Pull your ass. This goddamn white boy. Don't drive all up under my truck.
Uh-oh. Well, you going to handle that. And,
oh, jeez. Hey, come back alive. Will you, Logan?
Louisiana.
And I hope you got a pistol.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
But now,
let's
be honest here. Zimmerman was already judging.
Well, that's true.
And it's
sad to think that this guy might get away, even though he has that racist thought in his head. He picked out an innocent kid who probably had a great future. But yet, he's black. He's got a hood on. He's on drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well,
that's
right about Goof.
Yeah. You know, now I'm going to tell you something, Joe. One time, I did this long time ago, back when I was all stupid Mexican pride and all that fucking shit. But one time, I dressed gangster, like in straight hood with my rag out and everything. And I hung out in front of the police station. And you know how many cops would come up to me and hit me up and, you know, just bother the shit out of me? Almost 20 cops did within a two-hour period. Now, I dressed up in a suit and tie that same day, and nobody bothered me.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it's what you wear is how they defy you.
Not really.
All right.
And I'm dead serious.
Well, to a
dead
large
serious.
Degree, of course, yeah.
And then look at Trayvon with the hood. Oh, he's on drugs. He's suspicious.
Yeah, but what Zimmerman said is against him now because he said he looks like he's on drugs. And you know that the autopsy declared that he didn't have any drugs in his body. He only had Skittles and I think a Coke or some other can of soda. So right away, Zimmerman is already known for being prejudicial.
You're right, because he said it looked like he had something in his hands. I don't know what he have in his hands. So, yeah, you know, and plus to add to that, oh, man, you know, Zimmerman said he had his hands in his waistband, you know, in his waistband. Well,
yeah
I know if it's cold outside and it's raining, sometimes I put my hand in my waistband, too.
Well, you know, you put your hands inside the hoodie anyway, the pockets of the hoodie.
Yeah.
Sounds like some good old cop jargon to me.
Well, I just checked to see what if I shaved that day.
What are you reaching for? He got the police on the line, the dispatcher on the line right now, and the dispatcher listening to everything. And get out there. What are you reaching for? One thing leads to another. He killed a kid.
It's wow. You know, this is going to be a interesting
case. It's
going
to be very interesting, but I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Zimmerman's going to be acquitted. Number one, the defense, the prosecutor, isn't really going to prosecute this case with a lot of vigor. Number one. Number two, he charged him with second-degree murder, which is a very hard charge to kind of prove. If he had charged him with negligent homicide or criminal homicide or a lesser charge, then the jury would be able to convict this guy more easily. But the reason why that chick got off who supposedly killed her boy was because the charges were too high. So if the charges were of a lower order, she would have been convicted. One of the jurors had said that because the charge was such and such, they had to have a higher level of proof in order to convict. Since the
imagine that.
So I think that the prosecutor automatically is trying to make sure that Zimmerman gets off. Another thing is,
of course,
it's an all-white jury, so you know he's going to get off.
Well, I'll say this. I'm just glad Trayvon Martin's last name isn't Lope. Because there's no way he would have walked away from that before and been on house arrest. There's no way that would have happened. There's no way he would walk away from this again, definitely. I just want to thank everyone for standing behind me. He got his victory speech already together right now with the fake tears. There's no way that would happen.
I'm just going to put it over. Is this, okay, even Mr. though Doc, we know it's a self-defense, is this becoming a racial type of...
Well, it always has been.
Mr. Talk, can I ask you a question real quick before we go?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Have you ever heard of Oscar Grant?
Hell yeah.
Oscar Grant.
He's the guy that got shot in the back on the BART station. Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
He was handcuffed. And
no,
how much time did his...
No.
Oh, no, he wasn't?
No, because I saw the video.
Oscar Grant.
No.
Oscar Grant was killed up in New York, right?
No, San Francisco.
No. We're talking about...
Okay. Yeah, by the BART cop.
Right.
Yeah, by the back.
He was shot in the back.
Yeah.
Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy didn't do no more than 2 years. And I shit you not, good old Zimmerman, he's probably going to do the same time. There ain't going to be no justice for this poor kid getting shot. And I'm telling you, this is a gateway for people to just start doing things like this because they know they're going to get away with it.
Well, so
Absolutely.
Think it's basically a this trial will have repercussions all the way down if he's released. I mean, acquitted.
I don't think the riot will start though.
It won't.
No.
And I'll tell you why it won't. Because people, black people now, and mostly black people, they have their minds on too much of the garbage. I mean, when Rodney King got fucked up out there in L.A., this was on the news every single day. People got sick and tired of their asses getting kicked by the police, for one. You know, in Florida, you don't hear so much about people getting, especially children, getting murdered by somebody that's, first of all, not even the police, that's playing the police. Now, if the community was to come together like they did in L.A., in, what was that, 92?
92.
What you had in 92 was you had the boiling pot had boiled over. Black people got sick and tired of those white people living on the other side of town that never had to deal with those black people. Now they finally got a little nervous because they're tearing their own side of town up. What's going to happen when they come over on our side? So go get Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. We need to calm them down. Right or wrong? Right or
well,
wrong?
I don't know about Al. I always thought Al Sharpton and Jackson were never there to calm black people down. I thought they were there to try to unify black people.
They are there to pacify black people.
Oh, okay.
We're going to march. We're going to march.
That's all they are.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Al Sharpton came in the first few days with this Trayvon Martin thing and marched a little bit. He's what they call a stoker.
Okay.
Get things stirred up real good and leave out and go on jump on his next bandwagon.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, you don't see him around the Trayvon Martin people no more. He's on to the next march or whatever he wants to do. You know what? The funny thing is that I've seen Reverend Al Sharpton. He tried to march for our good Hispanic people. And you know what? That was the most stupidest thing he could have fucking done. He made us look like pathetic losers, basically. Because once Sharpton's there, nobody really gives a shit because they already heard his fucking, you know, speech and da 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 da. And, you know, all he wants to be is on camera. That's it.
You
don't care about whatever.
Where's the green
room?
Okay, let me ask y'all this then. What about the claim that Zimmerman's dad made in the in his new book that blacks are the racist people, more racist people than ever, you know, in the country, are the most racist there is? Is there any justification of that, or is he just letting feelings come roll over because his son is, you know, on trial?
Well, most likely because his son's on trial. Another thing why Zimmerman's going to lose, because Trayvon's mother said she believed it was an accident.
Yeah, the woman wasn't there, so whatever she says, there it goes, right?
Well, you know what?
Because the kid's not an adult.
Trayvon's mother, not Zimmerman's mother.
Trayvon's mother. You know, well, she may feel that way, which, you know, God bless her. But basically, you know, they're gonna have to go on the evidence, and evidence is not looking pretty good right now.
You know, that's the whole thing.
Well, you know what? Joe, who knows? That woman probably would have, been held down by the Holy Spirit to calm herself down, because I mean, she lost her son. You know, she didn't want no confrontation, you know.
Well,
they just want justice for their damn kid, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, you know, when she walked when they was in the courtroom earlier today, she walked out when they started doing the defense.
Hey,
she walked out.
It was an accident, huh?
Yeah, let me bring Ebony in. And, Ebony, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hello,
Ebony. What's going on?
Hi, how you guys?
What's up?
Nothing much. I'm listening to you. I think, interesting. I think what you were just saying about Trayvon's mom is, I think that's quite true, Goofy, that, you know, she will now, or from that happened, as any mother would be, she would be really, really grieving for her son. She doesn't necessarily want the Third World War over this issue. You know, she's still trying to preserve the memory of her son and deal with the whole thing with dignity. So, you know, I think that her comments would have been, you know, in line with how she's feeling, that maybe she'd like to believe that, you know, someone accidentally did this, that no one would go out there and blatantly shoot her son and take his life. So I understand exactly where she's coming from. But, you know, we have to wait and see the evidence, because at the moment it's not looking good. And from what you guys are saying, it sounds like, he went on some little rampage and messed up. But the problem is, you know, I always think, well, how important is a black life to America or even in the UK? How important is a black life? Because at the end of the day, they're going to go through this process. First, you've got a jury of women, all women who are white. Why would you do that? Why would you do that, knowing how people feel about this case? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you have a balanced jury, you know, of people who could come in and from both communities, you know, to as peers, to make a decision? No, that's the wrong thing from the start. And then, you know, just the whole way it's going, it doesn't look good. But, you know, I'm not suggesting people should go out and riot. But I think it's the kind of thing that the community has to decide. Well, how do we value the lives of our families? Because if we're willing to just sit down and let it go and say, well, okay, you know, it's not such a big deal. Well, it's been sorted in this way. Know that it's going to happen again and again and again. It's been happening for years anyway. It's just like that. It's been happening a long time.
Cool. Hold on.
And I don't blame Al Shafton. I think actually, you know, at least we have a couple of people who may be prepared to stand up and say something. You know, we lack leadership. We lack leadership, or we lack individuals even getting together and saying, I've had enough. Because, you know, does it take Al Sharpton or one of those guys to come and say, you know, look at this, guys, we've had enough? Can the community not see for themselves?
Yes.
They not see for themselves and mobilize themselves and come together and say, well, look, come on, what's going down here? We need some, you know, we need some better, we need some justice at least for the life of a child that we have lost from our community.
All right. Boy, I'm telling you, that was deep, Ebony. Hold on, let me bring another call in.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got going on. 678, you're on the air. What's going on?
What's going on, Mr. Talk, and all of your distinguished guests, as usual?
What's up, Intuitive Knowledge? How you doing?
Man, I've been listening to you guys, and I've actually been watching the proceedings at the same time. I might have missed this, and you guys might have already talked about it, but earlier today, the defense tried to get Trayvon's dad removed from the courtroom. He allegedly called one of the attorney's family members a motherfucker when he opened the door for him. So the judge removed the jury and basically called the young man to the stand. And it was real interesting because the prosecution had asked him when it happened. And he was like, well, I think it was either last Tuesday or the Tuesday before. So the attorney was like, so you mean to tell me this man called you a motherfucker and you waited 2 weeks,
2 weeks
to say something to somebody? And the reason why that this whole thing was brought up is because the defense attorney has Zimmerman's mom and dad on their witness list. And according to Florida law, I don't know if this is the same everywhere else, but because the jurors are sequestered, anybody on your witness list is not allowed in the courtroom until they testify. Now, once they testify, they can stay throughout the duration of the trial. So he was trying to argue law, stating that, well, since Trayvon's mom is here, then there's no need for the dad to be there. And I got to give Judge Nelson credit. She's running a real tight ship on this one because she cited case law based on the Supreme Court. As long as if the victims, both parents are still alive or the next of kin, they are allowed in the courtroom throughout the duration of the process. So unless you can find prejudice in him being here, then he's not going to be removed from this courtroom. And it kind of stood on that. But I agree with what Ebony said in terms of the value of the black life, because I don't know if you guys remember, I mentioned this before, that brother in Saginaw, Michigan, that had mental problems, and he was surrounded by about six cops. This was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon in a parking lot on a busy street. And I actually saw it on YouTube where they fired, 46 shots at this brother and killed him. This was like 2 months ago, and that just kind of flew under the radar. And this was actually caught on a cell phone. It was like a firing squad. And it was obvious he had issues because they told him they was going to stick the dogs on him. And he was like, go ahead, stick your dog. And then he pulls out a knife and gets into a karate stance. Now, how much of a threat could he possibly be if you stand in there with automatic weapons, six of you, and he in a karate stance with a knife? Like that old saying goes, who brings a knife to a gunfight? So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Let me tell you something, my friend. That guy could have been a Jedi and had some mystical, magical powers. And he could have took those cops out, but
sure.
They did the right thing.
They did the right thing. 46 shots, Goofy.
No, I'm telling you, this happened like a couple of years ago. A Vietnamese woman, she was holding a potato peeler. And the cop thought it was a knife, and he just unloaded his clip on her. And what happened? Nothing. He just, he got the on leave thing and whatever, and the paid leave, and the DA just dropped the case because the lady had some mental problem, so they think maybe, she was going mental that day, and the officer felt threatened, and decided to use force.
If this was a case where it was Zimmerman killed a white person, would it be getting this much press or this much attention?
No way.
Who are they bringing to the stand?
The dispatcher was on the stand. Give me a second here.
But I'm talking about who is this woman right here?
Hold on. I
don't know. I got a commercial. But anyway.
Y'all go ahead. I'll get that to you in just a second.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask that question because it's interesting. So, even though we don't want to believe it's a racial thing, it's kind of twisting its way toward that part of the road.
It started out a racist thing beginning.
You're right. Is it? Yeah, I guess I can't argue with that point. Yeah, it did.
Little Tommy was walking in that neighborhood with the same outfit on.
Little Tommy lived in that neighborhood temporarily, so he knew where he was going. So, now, once again, we have superhero Zimmerman who decides he wants to, question this young man as he's walking down the street. I'm sorry. Look, I'm trying to be politically correct here. But basically, I'm with Trayvon on, I hate he had to die, but, it's to the point where, if I have noticed somebody following me, which I'm paranoid about that anyway, I'm always looking around. Yes, I'm not going to go directly to my house. You understand what I'm saying? They trying to make it seem like he circled around. Yes, I would not go around. I would not go anywhere toward my house. Yes, I would circle around to try and see who the hell was he really following me, number one. And if he was, what the hell he was following me for? Now, Zimmerman got out the car. That made it double trouble then. Now he done got out of his car and he's following me. I done took off running. So, I haven't made any moves toward him besides look at him and then take off running. So now you done got out your car and you chasing me. Basically, hey, it's hot and popping then. Because eventually I'm going to get tired of running and say, look, enough of this. What do you want? And that's why I said last week, I think it was last week when I said, the most important part of this whole thing is the conversation that went on when they met face to face, that we will not ever know about. We may know one side of it, but we won't know the Trayvon side because he's dead. Now, we may get pieces of what the witnesses think they may have heard, but the actual the conversation that went on, it's going to play a big part of this, and we'll never know what it is.
And that's the whole dice game of the trial. What you just said, Mr. Talk, is that only two people know what happened, and one of them is dead.
Right.
That makes the whole trial a crapshoot. Now it depends on the attorneys and how they're able to manipulate the legal system. And just to answer Goofy's question, she's director of communications for the sheriff's office, the woman that's on the stand right now.
Yeah. She's like the lead chick.
Didn't Zimmerman's daddy used to be like a magistrate judge or something?
Yeah.
Well, no, you actually, I think you're talking about, he's got an uncle that, he's got an uncle that lives in another state that's actually a cop.
No, man.
He
used to be a judge also.
Really?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Because actually Zimmerman had a couple of cases where they would could have been felonies that got turned into misdemeanors before. You know, he's got a couple of cases on him for obstruction of police, you know, with violence and one without violence and a domestic charge that just, you know, just basically went into one misdemeanor and that was it. So, yeah.
So you mean he got a couple of convictions?
No, they're not really convictions, really.
Well,
look, they should have been felonies.
If they were reduced to misdemeanors, then, I mean, that ain't no big deal.
Yeah.
Either way it goes, a charge is a charge, though. I mean, it depends.
But misdemeanors can get expunged. They can go away. If it's a felony, you stuck with that for life.
Right. And that's another show we're going to work on here pretty soon. But here's the thing, and here's the importance of this that little statement right there, because if – he had been a – if it was felony, if he had been a felon, he wouldn't have been able to get away.
He wasn't no pistol, no way, right?
Right. So,
unless it was dirty.
And people are looking at that like, these should have been felonies. In another state or city, these would have been felonies, but for some reason, his got knocked down to misdemeanor, which, you know, kind of –
Let me tell you something, Mr. Stark. This should have been, you know, I don't understand why all these laws, like say for instance, if I go and kill someone, they give me a charge of, you know, a murder, give me like 14 years. So if you kill someone, they give you a charge, you're doing, you know, the death penalty or something. And someone else kills someone, shit, 7 years. They should make what, you know, a standard, you know, law. You murder someone, this is what you're getting, life or whatever. And it's all due to how, who knows who in the legal system.
Don't let me get
started. And I'm
going
to say it.
Hey, Goofy, just to tell you something, Goofy, there's a reason why they call it court. Because it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
Games are played on a court. Tennis is played on a tennis court. Basketball is played on a basketball court. That's why they call it court. And that's why when you go into a court of law, you can't represent yourself because you have no standing. So you have to have somebody represent you. The system is rigged. So if you, and they make so many laws because they know the general public, man, we're only going to know like, it's just a smidgen of the law. And this is the thing that people have to understand about this case in terms of how it's going to be tried, is that if you don't know that the intricacies of the legal system, then, you know, and then when we see these verdicts, they don't make sense to us because it's like, man, this is slam dunk. Well, no, it's not, because it depends on what the judge allows. It depends on the prosecution, the defense attorney. You had a whole lot of people who thought O.J. was dead to right in that one. Dead to right. And then Johnny Cochran and Kardashian just pulled like a magic act. Why?
They
understand law in spite of the preponderance of evidence. From a legal standpoint, they were still able to manipulate the system. And it worked.
And it worked. Hmm.
So that's what it boils down to, because we all going to get it. As this case goes on, oh, yeah, like you were saying, Mr. Talk, and I had discussed this with the Florida attorney, is that there is no way this case is going to be adjudicated and race not come to the forefront. It's just it's impossible. It's going to happen somewhere, some way, somehow. And the judge might, and like you were saying, which is true, she's striking certain words because – that's the thing that she's trying to guard against, is keeping it under control and within the constraints of what the law is.
you're not going to, I didn't mean to cut you off, brother, but you're not going to get that out of control. And one, and two, when that jury come back and if they give a very light sentence, if they give no sentence at all, then the first thing people of color are going to say is, those white so-and-sos, they plotted this. This is just like Alabama in 1940s, in 1950-something or 60-something.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, you're going to have some hot-headed black people starting commotion. And I just put that lightly. So it's going to come in. I don't care. You can leave out racial profiling. You can leave out all those hot-button topics if you want to. It's going to come up first and foremost when you decided to select your jury members. You was biased when you did it.
Right.
Not one black person. Not one black person whatsoever. Get the hell out of here. This, like I said, this is Alabama 1962.
Like I said, this is a gateway to thinking motherfuckers could get away with this shit. I'm just serious.
Well, Goofy, like I told Mr. Talk before, matter of fact, I sent him a photograph, this girl, and I mentioned it before, the girl in Florida stood her ground against her boyfriend, her old man, whatever he was. He'd been beating her ass. She ain't got a permit to carry and conceal. Instead of her killing him, she shot in the wall next to him and said, hey, you know, you need to get out of here, whatever, whatever. Police show up because it was gunfire. She's looking at doing 20 years now.
I heard about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
You might as well kill that motherfucker.
Where was stand your ground? That was the first thing they come out of their mouth with for Zimmerman. Stand his ground. But this girl has a history of getting her ass beat by her boyfriend. And she got tired of getting her ass beat. I guess everything would have been fine if she'd have been dead, you know.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, brother. Is her boyfriend white by any chance?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
But I know who she looks. Go ahead. I know who she looks like.
Oh. You know what she looks like.
I know who she looks like, and I know what they're doing to her. They're persecuting her. When she did everything she was supposed to do legally, you know. Now you got somebody like George Zimmerman, who is a vigilante, if you want to use that term, because that's exactly what it was, vigilante justice. I mean, I thought I was watching the Charles Bronson movie.
Wait a minute. Let's go back. What was the justice? Okay?
Man.
No, what was the justice?
As far as I'm concerned, there was no justice. Zimmerman is concerned, I know he gloats about that. I know he does. I know he feels a sense of being because he murdered. He killed a black person. He killed one of them.
Okay.
One of those assholes.
He stopped one of them from getting away with it, basically, what you're
he
saying.
He killed
right.
one of those fucking
his own words.
Cops. That's what he did.
Right.
He saved his community. He's the hero. That's what he's thinking.
And you have people, and predominantly white people, have said, well, you know, Trayvon was a hoodlum, and Zimmerman was doing everything he could, and he was supposed to, and who knows, Trayvon might have lunged at him and jumped on him or something. Wait a minute. See, I have to go all the way back to when the dispatch said, don't follow him. I don't have to hear anything else beyond that. Nothing. Because you have your standing orders right then and right there. That's it. Nothing else. We got this. Leave it alone. He didn't. He decided to go against that. He did what he wanted to do. Henceforth, he should be standing in front of a firing squad.
All right. Woo.
You know what? Either way, if he goes down, and if he doesn't, I mean, someone's going to get this guy. And I'm dead serious. I bet you there's some old man in prison, an old black man in prison, sharpening his toothbrush or maybe his hair pick a little bit sharper because he feels the hate. Because, I mean, serious, something like this brings hate from the past. And I'm telling you, if this guy goes down and he's in the jail or prison, whatever, they're going to murk his ass. It's plain and
simple. They're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to because they're not going to be able to put him in general population.
Oh,
yeah,
he'll
be in isolation. He'll be in isolation.
They'll find somebody.
Yeah, he'll be in isolation.
Somebody
and,
get to
and
him.
If they,
come on,
yeah, it'll be hard. I mean, hell, you got criminals in isolation that, I mean, they don't touch anybody. They the only person that they get close enough to are the guards. Here the people in the prison. Yeah, the guards.
Right. Mm. And they only get out once a day for 1 hour.
Yeah, 1 hour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's deep.
But I don't know, man.
If you go in general pop. Oh my God.
I just pray that this gets the real justice that it deserves. Poor kid. Getting Skittles and a fucking iced tea. Just because he's black and he has a hood on. He's on drugs. He's suspicious. And it just pisses me off because, shit, all my life, just what I wore. Oh, shit, I would get the cops called on me. I remember one time I was tying my shoe and an old lady told me to get off her lawn because I wasn't even on her lawn. I was on the sidewalk. And she told me, get off the lawn before I call the cops on you. I wasn't even doing shit. So I know what the hell that poor kid went through, man. And it's sad, man. That's fucking terrible.
It is. Well, let me share this one with you, Goofy. When I was living in Smyrna, I lived on the first level, right? And on my patio, it was about 11:30 in the afternoon. And what happened was across the street, there was this huge fire in an apartment complex. I didn't know that at the time. So I come out, I fire up the grill, I got my grill going, and I've been barbecuing at this complex ever since I've been there. The next thing I know, Smyrna police roll up, right? A female gets out the car, and I had my back turned, and she was like, put the fire out. And I didn't directly hear her because my back was turned. So I turned around. This woman put her hand on her gun and was running towards me. And I immediately, you know, being from the Bay Area, I was like, whoa, I threw my hands up, right? I was like, what's wrong? She was like, I told you to put the fire out. I was like, okay, no problem. Now, what would it look like, me getting shot, even if she didn't kill me, and then showing up on the news, man shot because he's barbecuing on his porch? I mean, what is that? And she scared me to death. She scared me to death. And then I called in on her and found out she has had a history of reckless behavior. And they sent her superior officer out to talk to me about what happened because she has a history of doing stuff like this. So you got, I mean, that legal system, man, is just so, that,
man,
that thing
I,
is amazing.
I've reported so many cops so many times. Back in the day, like in the 90s when the little camcorders first came out, I caught them so many times picking on us, telling us, hey, you stupid Mexicans, you all gonna kill each other. Y'all dumb. You guys don't know anything. And some of them would call us beaners and all this whatever. And I remember one white kid used to hang out with us, and he pulled him to the side, and he had the camcorder right there. And he was telling them, what are you doing hanging out with these stupid beaners? You're white. You're supposed to be in a white neighborhood with white kids living the rich life, not being over here with the low lifes and shit. And I turned that into internal affairs and all that shit. None of those cops got anything. Just a little thing on the record that somebody complained about them.
Right.
That's it.
Like I said before, the worst thing you can do is get a piss poor civil servant to feel as though he is better than you. I mean, they don't make any money, you know, and they're not on the same level as the people that they feel they you know, they are equal to. So what will they do? They'll do any and everything they can to belittle you. You know, if you have a decent car and you're just the average guy,
they feel like that if they can't afford that car, you shouldn't be able to afford it. You know, and it's stupid, but it's true. I've been there before. Hell, I was there in 96. I had an 86 fucking Maxima with rims on it and speakers. And, you know, I was young. And the cop, I got pulled over, and the cop asked me, whose car? I said, it's my car. Where are you working? I don't work nowhere. My daddy paid for it. That's what I told him. Wasn't on his damn business. You know, but the thing is, you know, you're not supposed to do anything. You're not supposed to have anything. You're not really supposed to exist. If they want to kill you, they'll kill you. You know, just about any way they want to.
Yeah.
Sure hey, can. I placed a link in the chat room. If y'all want to go and check out those arrests I was telling you about, you know, just click on that link and you see everything I was talking about. All right. For those that don't, just go to www.blackeconomicdevelopment.com and you can find it there also. Man, you know, this is a case that's really, I think it's going to stir up some things here. It's going to stir up some things. And it's amazing that, you know, after the initial blast, you haven't seen a Jesse Jackson or what's his name back in the area, you know, and that's interesting. Really, it is.
I told you, they're only there for the spotlight. They got their little fame from that, so they jump on what else is popular. If Jesse Jackson and the Reverend Al Sharpton really cared, you would see their nasty-ass, greasy faces right in the crowd with the rest of the people that cared about this trial. But nah, those people, they're out there, you know, trying to find out what's new or they're collecting some cash from somebody to make a lousy little appearance. They don't care, man.
Let Zimmerman get acquitted. Oh, they'll pop up at, man, they're magicians.
Yeah, there you go.
They'll pop up in a heartbeat and be right there. They waiting. They haven't disappeared. They just letting it unfold.
No, they're collecting their checks somewhere. They're doing you know, little speeches or somewhere where some idiots are willing to pay thousands of dollars for them. That's where they're at.
Look, here's the question then. Where's the local NAACP? Where's the Black Caucus? Where's these other groups that's supposed to be there also? You know, we keep putting it on these two, but where's the other ones? Where's the other folks at?
Like I said before, it's a shame, but in the Black community nowadays, if it didn't happen specifically to my family member, I'm not getting involved. I really don't care.
Yep.
That's the mindset.
And it's sad.
It's sad that's
how it works. Because
before,
if this would happen, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lo.
Now, I know you guys remember about that the time, and we were talking about it. I think yesterday about the cops showing up to the wrong house or whatever.
Right.
And there was a grandmother in Georgia.
Here in Atlanta.
Atlanta, absolutely. They thought that woman's house was a drug house. They went in that house and killed that lady. That woman
was like 80 something years old, had her own gun. She heard people beating on the door. She knew it was a drug neighborhood. So she started busting caps, like, here they come. So she bust the cap. They bust the door down, blew her away. Then come to find out, they was at the wrong house all along.
Yeah. Wow.
And supposedly didn't identify this. Regardless, man, I mean, you know, like I said, some things have to have repercussions behind them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being Vernon, our grandmother's still alive. That shit would have never happened to her, and nothing happened behind that. I'm just calling it how it is. You know, people, if they take things lightly, you start off, you kill the old people, you're killing children, people in the community selling dope, and they killing kids with stray bullets and everything, and nobody ever say anything about it.
Right.
Well, let me ask this question, Lo. I mean, because you just brought something to my mind. Do you think this case here, the Zimmerman case, wouldn't have been so explosive if they would have arrested Zimmerman right away instead of having to be pressured and forced to basically arrest this man?
Yeah.
I think
I think it would be less intense. It's intense right now because people are. I know you got some people that's waiting to find out what they're going to do, because I'll just go ahead and say it. I don't have a dog in the fight. Man, these motherfucking hunkies fuck over us again. We going to tear this motherfucker up. You have people thinking that already, right or wrong.
Right.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Absolutely. And you have the other ones that work with those people. Oh, well, you know, it was tragic. I hate it happened. You know, maybe it could have been done differently. I just hope nothing happens. So that's the black community right there.
Yeah.
The black community is divided on this issue. And
yeah.
If they would have arrested him sooner without all the pressure having to be added to it, and then people getting tense and everything, I know they're not going to let this motherfucker walk and he done killed somebody's child. Next thing you know, you thinking about your own child. This happening to your child, you know, and you're on the defensive. You're on the guard. It's a no-win situation right now, and the only thing they can do is the right thing. If they choose not to do the right thing, then, hey, you get what you get.
Right. But I think
can I ask a question real quick? I'm sorry, Knowledge.
Go ahead.
If this was to happen, like, in the Martin Luther King days, you think that, or what do you think, would it still be divided, or would you think it would against the white man?
See, you in my wheelhouse now. I grew up during that era. No. The black community was completely together at that time. They were fighting for a common cause. You had white folks who were fighting for that cause too. They were more libertarians. And no, that would have been addressed on a much higher fervor than this was. And alluding to what you're saying and what Mr. Talk was saying, yeah, I think it would have diffused the situation had they, once they came in contact with him, they would have been like, okay, check this out. We got to bring you in. We got to find out what happened. And you're going to be detained until we get further information. I think because that would have given the public a sense of, okay, at least they trying to do something right.
Right.
By him being able to just walk around, and then we find out he got $130,000 in support in a PayPal account. See, that type of stuff, and like Lo was saying, that type of stuff sets people off, man. It sets them off. So would it have been different in the 60s? Yes, it would have, because it was too much social turmoil going on at that time. You had Martin Luther King. You had the Nation of Islam. You had the Black Panther Party. So stuff was happening everywhere, and all they had to do was hear about some little kid being shot, and that would have just set off another firestorm. You'd have had politicians getting involved because everything was on the burner, and the burner was on high, and America was trying to, you know, bring that boil down and get everything under control, because at that time, this country was really on the edge. It was right there on the edge, about to go real bad. Then they started passing legislation, and then black people started falling back because it was like, okay, now finally we getting something out of this deal. So, yeah, it would have been different. I think it would have been different. I'm not saying it would have.
The reason why I threw that out there is, like, back then you guys, you know, you guys would have been united, and you would probably have maybe, you know, thousands outside the courtroom. I don't even think that there's even a little bit of, you know, people outside the court. There's more people outside the courtroom in a Jody Arias trial than what's going on right now. It just sickens me on how nobody's really pulling behind, you know, good old Trayvon. You know, it's the Zimmerman trial. It's not the Trayvon Martin trial, Zimmerman trial. It's just the Zimmerman trial. You know what I mean? And it sucks how they do it that way, man. It's terrible.
That goes back to my initial question, you know, as I was saying earlier. Where is the Black Congressional Congress? Where is the NAACP? Where are the black representatives from this city? Where are they? You know, it's like they're ghosts right now.
If it's not making them money, they're not there. I'm sorry to say that.
They're not going to touch that.
Don't forget about the Rainbow Coalition, whatever the that organization is. I still ain't figured that one out. I'm still trying to figure out how you can be the Reverend Jesse Jackson and you ain't got no church.
Hmm. Well, he's evangelistic.
He sure is.
Hey, Reverend Jesse Jackson, where is your church? I ain't seen a church yet. I've seen him talking different churches. I've seen him being a visiting pastor. Where is your church, bruh? You know, reverend. Only reverend I know ain't got no church.
Does Al Sharpton have a church?
Yes, he does. He has one in Harlem.
Okay.
Yeah, he got one uptown in Harlem.
But, you know, Jesse Jackson gets special favors anyway because everybody know he had a hand in something that happened many years ago. I don't have to go into the specifics.
You sure don't.
Absolutely. Everybody knows Jesse Jackson has something to do with that.
With
that being said, I mean, you know, he did everything he was supposed to. He played the game that Mr. Charlie had wanted him to play. Mr. Charlie gave him a little money, gave him a little fame. So he done everything he was supposed to. He ran for the presidency, which was a sham. He knew he wasn't going to get that.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, but I believed.
Hey, and by the way, now that we got on Jesse, I know I'm digressing. How old is his love child now? And you notice how when he was married, I don't know who coined that phrase, but how come his child was called the love child? I don't know if y'all remember that, when he was sleeping around on his wife and he got his assistant pregnant.
Yeah, the Rainbow Coalition gave him that.
That was a love child.
Yeah, the love child.
The only Rainbow Coalition I know is what Josephine Baker tried to create. That's the only Rainbow Coalition I've ever heard of. I mean, seriously.
That's the only one goofy.
It's the only one I know.
Ooh, you know what? And here's another question. You know, why aren't the Hispanics up in arms about this?
Especially in Florida with that Latin community.
Yes, exactly. Why aren't they up in arms about this?
You want to know why? Because it hasn't affected them yet.
Absolutely.
You know,
I don't like to quote comedians and such, but Paul Mooney said it best. They figure that they got a piece of a white privilege card over black people. So as long as the white man got his foot on black people's neck, fuck it. Who cares? Yeah,
if it hasn't happened to them, I'm speaking for. I mean, I care about what's happening on Trayvon Martin because I know, you know, I've been picked on for just, you know, wearing whatever the fuck I'm wearing, and I could feel how this situation happened and maybe on how it ended, because that's common sense on how what I've gone through in life. So that's why I'm kind of touched with this one. But to be honest with you, they're just looking back and just seeing what's going to happen. They don't care unless something happens to them now. If it was a white man killing a little Mexican kid, then, oh, yeah, you'll see, you know, everybody come from over the border and, you know, everybody, you know, just joining forces. But seriously, if it hasn't affected them, they're just sitting back and watching.
They already got
their own problem with trying to get employment.
Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of like that phrase, sucks to be you.
There you go, bro. And I'm sorry to say, but that's how life is.
Wow.
Seriously, that's how those people rally. You know what I mean? If it doesn't, if it hasn't affected them, then they're not going to do anything about it.
Hmm.
Seriously.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Ebony, are you still there? Ebony? Okay, she must be off doing something else. It's interesting, though, because, you know, now that we get to talking about this thing and you get to diving a little deeper into it, you know, it's so much that needs to be answered. You know,
we almost done.
Huh?
We almost.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just saying the time flew by. I mean, shit, we almost done here.
Yeah, time is flown. We're going over.
It's just like I said.
It's just like I said on another show. You know, you got black people that, and I spoke specifically about it. You got black people that's wanting to avoid being or their children being Trayvon Martin, and white people, the only thing that they want to avoid is someone listening in on their conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So with that within itself says that, hey, maybe some white people are sympathetic to this, but as a whole, they don't care. It's not happening to them. Right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening.
You're right.
That's not going to happen to white people. You're not going to have the police pulling white people out of their cars and killing them and beating on them with those billy clubs and this and that, and the cops just walk away from it. It's not going to have that.
But we are in 2013. We are 2013.
I don't care what year
shouldn't it be better now? Shouldn't we be all living in harmony and just
Mr.
Tranquil?
Talk, let that go. Let that go.
See, the hippies should have never got killed off. Because I'm telling you, the hippies were so close to trying to bring peace, love, and happiness to the world. You know what I mean? You don't see no hippies fighting, maybe over the same pussy or somebody took their weed. But seriously, if we were all peace, love, and happiness, I mean, we would be all kind of insane at one point in time. But for real, I've always believed in, you know, everyone should respect people as people. You know, regardless of what your skin is or how much money you make. If you're a good person inside, you know, you can carry a good conversation with somebody you don't even know. That's serious.
Yeah. Yeah, but one of the things that people really need to understand about this country is that in America, unlike probably anywhere else in the world, America uses racism as an economic tool, as a tool for social control, as a tool for public policy.
Basically,
and,
a weapon.
Yes, and basically racism is just that thing that's filtered down to the general public, because we feed off of it, the general public. I'm not saying anybody that's talking right now, but it's just the general public. We feed off of racism like piranhas, and somebody just threw some fresh meat in the pool. We just, everybody just, you know, it's just a free-for-all, because that's what these Trayvon Martin cases do. If the establishment sees people starting to get along, you know, like Rodney King says, can't we all just get along? Hell no, we can't, because they're not going to let us. They're not going to let us. And then all of a sudden, we get the Trayvon Martin case. Now, think about it. In the midst of this Trayvon Martin case, we got this national security shit going on.
Right.
We got the National Defense Authorization Act going on. We got the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement going on. Now, all of a sudden, we need to get all this legislation passed. Oh, Trayvon Martin, young black kid, 17 years old, gets shot point blank. Nobody witnessed it. All we got is this white guy or whatever his ethnicity is. Now, all of a sudden, we all get moved over to this case. Now, while we're all focusing on this,
You forgot that he would look like the president's son. You forgot that one.
True. I did. I stand corrected on that, Goofy. I appreciate that. You're right. He does look like the president's son. But at the end of the day, my point is that this country feeds off of racism. We feed off of
That's
it, and almost to a point of where it's a narcissism. It's psychopathic, because all this time black people have been in this country, we still ain't got this shit together. It's been over 400 years, and we still dealing with the same, like Mr. Talk said, we still dealing with the same thing. 400 years later,
which means
we're not trying to fix it.
Can I say something without being booed off the show or kicked off the show?
You can hug.
Well, According to the scripture, it's not going to get better. Period.
Oh, okay.
Read it for yourself.
So why did you think you were going to be booed off the show?
Because it's not popular to say stuff like this. When you use stuff like that, when you start talking like that, people that supposedly believe in the Bible and go to church, they'll say, yeah, I know, but. And when they throw that but in there, everything that I just said, they put that over to the side and they say, well, you know, it used to be good back in the 70s.
Now, he got that because he disrespected me like that. He know he can say that on my show. I don't know what he's talking about. That's why he got booted.
I was just about to go wham, wham, wham.
Well, I thought Joe was going to get offended here.
I was saying some stuff like this before, and it wasn't popular with the masses.
Uh-huh.
So, hey, you know, they turn on me like piranha. Well, Joe, you know, just because you don't believe in anything, that's your business, bro.
No, but, you know, I never really, I never put down anybody who, I never really seriously put down people who believe in the Bible on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I don't believe in the Bible. But the
right.
thing is, a lot of people do. So, okay, fine.
Right.
But
right.
you've never been booed on this show because of your biblical
belief. Well, I'm not saying it's so much as being booed. It's the thing that if you're bringing a fact that's in the book, some people just don't want to hear that.
Yeah, but
you know
what?
All we need to do is learn to make the change. Like I say, all they'll say is, oh well, we just need to educate ourselves more. Oh, we just need to get more money, and we'll have more stature, and they'll listen to us then. That's not money. Doesn't always bring a listening ear.
Well, not always, but I mean it helps.
Absolutely.
Money gives you a voice.
Hmm.
Okay.
It might save you if you get captured.
Doesn't matter who's listening or not. You get to put your voice out.
If you have enough money, then everybody will agree that it's all about the green. It's not about.
No, when you have money, you could do a lot of things, like, and get away with some stuff, like, you know. You could yell at a waitress or, you know, yell at the chef because they didn't cook the meal right. You know? You could do those type of things.
But you remember...
Or you could say nigger in your own restaurant.
Did anybody ever see Schindler's List?
Yeah.
I don't...
Yes?
You know,
yeah.
remember
I didn't say
when,
all that. But,
you know how the Nazis hated the Jews, but if you paid off the Nazis, they would leave the Jews alone. So money did talk.
Go ahead, Goofy.
I was just saying, Joe, you're saying that if the Jews were to pay off the Nazis would have left them alone?
I'm saying that the Jews who wanted to be left alone were paid off by the guy played by Liam Neeson or whatever to leave them alone. And I'm trying to emphasize the point that money was what happened. They, the Nazis, would kill any Jew. Just like, remember that scene where the guy took his rifle and just shot any Jew in sight and could get away with it. The thing is that they hated Jews. But in order to put that hate aside, they wanted the green more. And I'm trying to emphasize the point that if you make enough money, they may still hate you. But they'll listen to you, and they might even follow some advice, because just like the mob, it's all about business.
Right. Can I ask Joe a question just real quick? Just a very simple question. Joe, did you know that Hitler was not even German?
No, I didn't know that he wasn't even German. I know that his mother was supposedly
Guess what he was. Guess what Hitler was. Hitler was an Austrian Jew.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
Hold up, man. Hitler was Jewish.
No,
uh-oh.
He had his mother was like a half Jew, so.
Right, and his dad was Austrian. He wasn't even German. My point is, he wasn't German.
Some historians might agree with you. Some historians might debate that. I don't know.
Research it.
But I know one thing. I don't know, but I also heard that... That since Ebony's on the line, your lovely queen, tracing her lineage back, did you know that Britain was ruled by a German king?
Yeah, we know that.
Oh, okay. Well, that ruins my surprise.
Why are you attacking the monarch? Why?
Yeah, why are you trying to attack the monarchy? Like, come on.
Well, only because
leave Ebony alone. She is beautiful and sweet, and she doesn't deserve treatment like that.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go with another white knight. I'm so sick of you, white knight.
I'm sorry, Joe. There ain't no white knight here. I'm just telling the truth.
You and Eric.
One time, most of all of European and Russian aristocracy were related.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Were cousins.
They are now.
Yeah.
Well, they're still related.
Sure.
I think the worst thing that happened to Russia was when they killed their aristocracy, the Romanovs. If they left them in power, then we would have never suffered. They would have never suffered under communism, and they'd be more of an advanced nation today. But anyway.
Well, the good thing is that Putin ran out the central bank a couple of years ago, I heard. And the central bank is, as people should know, that is the cancer of the world. If any country... What is that?
Is somebody reporting a UFO or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not me.
Oh, Lord. Here we go with the not me's. All right.
You know it's not me. Mute me and see if it's still there.
Huh? No.
It's not me.
Well, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
any country that has a central bank does not have its own sovereignty. It's ruled by that central bank. And I think 95% of the countries in the world have central banks. So they're all ruled by the Rothschilds, theoretically.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have a central bank.
Yeah.
In the United States.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve.
Yep. Yep.
The central bank. And Thomas Jefferson warned against central banks.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 1700s, he was like, that will be the downfall of any country. Once you let bankers control the country, you're done.
Yep.
Wow. You two, is it you two knowledge?
Into.
Into knowledge. Do you have your own show?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
He has that radio voice. He should.
He has knowledge. I need to recruit.
I thought maybe you were the guy on the front of Blog Talk Radio's new little headline right when you come to Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I
haven't heard that. Oh.
Yeah, if you pay to be there, I think that's a lack of equality there. Like, how did he get that spot? Did he pay extra money? You know, did he pay a premium and all the rest of us?
But one thing I would like to suggest to the
$20,000 donation. I'm sorry, yeah, Alex, go ahead.
One thing I would like to suggest to all of you, if you really want to understand how politics works, whether it's a monarchy, socialism, communism, a republic, capitalism, I would advise everyone to read Niccolo Machiavelli. The book is called The Prince. It's very short.
Oh, yeah, I read it.
Okay,
very
you
same
go.
Book. Yeah, very good book.
There you go.
Yeah.
And basically what he does is he draws a blueprint for every type of government or institution that you want to run. And one of the interesting things that he said is that one of the reasons why it's very hard to topple a monarchy is because you have to kill everybody in the family. Mm-hmm. Everybody. You can't leave anybody alive. And I just wanted to throw that out there because a lot of people will refer to Machiavelli, but they haven't really read it. And I know Tupac kind of brought him back to the surface with the 7-day theory, which is mm-hmm. like faking your own death, which in the United States you can't do because you'll be in jail for life. And that's for insurance reasons.
Yeah.
They don't allow that.
Snowden fakes his own death.
And well, did you hear about that guy? Now he's in Russia.
Well, yeah. And
he's
the United States the United States is upset with China and Russia right now because they're not stopping him. I mean, they're not holding him for him, you know.
Well, because he's turned it into, even though he's young, there are certain things that he understands from an international standpoint because Hong Kong is one of the most known places for people to seek asylum because of their laws. And once they were released from the British, I think it was back in the 90s, 96 or 97, they were given their sovereignty. And, you know, the British didn't, they moved out on paper, but I'm sure they're very much involved with Hong Kong. But it allows you to go there. But the amazing thing about Snowden, and you guys probably already know this, this guy, 29 years old, making $200,000 a year, and he's a high school dropout.
Yep.
Amazing.
Let me tell you something. I got my AA before I got my high school diploma.
Okay.
So,
but I'm just talking about the work he was doing, not the fact that he's just a dropout,
but the work he was doing. Yeah, but he doesn't need to be bright to do the work that he was doing.
Obviously.
Well, look at the president. Look at Barack Obama. He's on a job training.
He don't need to be bright.
I mean, well,
but one
thing
for sure, he's smart enough to know to get his ass, keep his ass moving before they capture him and lock him up.
Well, right now he supposedly is in the Ecuadorian embassy with
that's
what's
right.
his name, Assange or whatever.
No. He's not in London, is he?
No, he flew to Moscow.
Yeah, he flew to Moscow. Yeah.
London? What would he do in London? He knows. Look, if he came to London,
it's a wrap.
He can't go there.
No. This whole thing go to Vietnam or some shit like that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Get lost in a rice paddy or something, right?
No, he wouldn't be able to blend in with the people over there. No.
But the reason why I brought that up is I want you guys to be able to connect the dots with Snowden, with Trayvon Martin. All this does is strengthen the police state that is engulfing this country. Because what's going to happen is it's going to tighten up everything. And all of a sudden, people are going to start seeing, and like I was saying, how they created diversion and all these laws come in behind it. And then we wonder, how the hell these laws, wait a minute, when did they do this? When did they do that? When did they do that? And what's going to happen with this Trayvon Martin case, with Snowden case, even though they seem separate, they're going to end up being linked together because now we have a security problem, not a national security problem. We just have a generic security problem, period, whether it be our citizens, whether it be private information that you have privilege to, no matter what the case may be. And this is how all this stuff, this is how I see it happening. This is how all this stuff is going to tie together. And in about the next 3 or 4 years, this country's going to be on lockdown. That's just my opinion. It's going to be on lockdown.
Well, I think Snowden's doing the right thing. He's keeping himself in the news because I think if he's not in the news, he'll disappear.
Yeah.
And we'll never hear about him again. You know, or he'll be like that guy that they were chasing. What's his name? Chris, whatever, the one that they shot. You know,
Christopher Durden.
Yeah. He'll be out there on his own, and he'll be got. They'll get him. And the interesting thing is that, you know, I think in the news they're trying to say, oh, it's not that bad. The government doesn't really care that much because it's, you know, no one's that bothered by it. But the fact that he's had to make a run and the fact that, you know, the news are just, you know, putting it out there where he is tells you that he's going to be caught very soon. He's going to be caught very soon. If he manages to stay in Ecuador I will be very surprised if he manages to stay there, and you know somehow they will get him. Yeah.
You're talking about Snowden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're saying he's about to go to Iceland next.
Wow.
Well, they're inviting him
after he leaves Russia.
They made an invitation for him to go there.
Yeah. But how do all these people know where he's going? Like, come on, you're supposed to be on the run. Like,
Well, Axel made the invitation weeks ago when it first broke.
This guy must not know a lot. I'm going to tell you something. This guy must not know a lot, because if he knew a lot, somebody would have him under the wheel. You wouldn't even know where this guy vanished to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's why he keeps moving.
And I think he's just, you know, doing the regular, you know, hopping here and there until he gets busted. And, you know what, this guy, oh well, you fucked up. You're dumb enough to let that leak. You should have blamed it on. So, see, this is how dumb criminals are, especially with that type of information. Go on somebody else's computer, like maybe a library or something, and then spread it on out there. You know, go why target yourself and do all this shit. You know, and then
but
you
goofy,
leave yourself.
But
into,
Goofy, you can do that, Goofy, but you gotta sign in under something. You can always be traced. You can't just anonymously get on a computer and start spreading information. You're required to log into something.
And look, and why is he running? Because he was talking about that same thing. So, I mean,
he's running because he knows the history of whistleblowers being killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, just to tell you how technology is really powerful. The guy that in the paper, was it last week, a pastor who was doing a sermon, and at the same time he was looking at pictures of young children on his internet. He was looking at young children and doing his sermon at the same time. And they just literally came up to his house and got him while he was on the computer. Like, you know, doing, and he was writing his sermon at the same time.
That's the beauty of the electronic grid, is that you always leave footprints.
That's right.
They make it impossible. You can't sign on anything anonymously. You can create fake names and do stuff like that. However, with that fake name that you create, somewhere in your registration, you've had to put either your zip code or your phone number, something that can tie back to you, even if you're using fake names. You had to use something that is
the fake information is one thing. The IP address they can always trace unless you're using a proxy. And even then, if they really wanted to find out who you are, you can have 7 proxies and they'll find you.
Exactly. There it is.
Well, I have a question for you guys. Who thinks Snowden is a criminal, and who thinks he's a hero?
Well, I think he's a hero.
But Goofy made a comment a while ago about, and like all criminals, when he was referring to Snowden, I was wondering if Goofy thinks he's a criminal.
Yeah, I think Goofy thinks he's a criminal, too.
He is a criminal.
Okay.
Okay, well Goofy,
regardless of the secret or whatnot, he did what we call snitching. And snitches get stitches, or they get dealt with a way that the proper justice to snitches that handle business with snitches.
Well, let me tell you a story.
Whatever America does to him, regardless of what he brought, he could have brought out that the UFOs are real or Obama's fake. I don't give a shit. It don't bother me, because I already have a feeling of some of these things. And plus all this, the phone tapping, whoop-de-doo. You know, I mean, shit, and now we know it's official. Wow.
But
so go kill this motherfucker. Find this guy and go kill his ass.
Who on here remembers a company called Quest Telecommunications? QWEST, remember when they were in business?
Oh, yeah. I heard, yeah.
Do you know what happened to them? You don't hear about them anymore, do you? Do you know what happened to Quest?
What happened to them?
The CEO of Quest Communications was approached by NSA, and this was before 9/11, to let them have the records of Quest customers, and he refused. He wouldn't do it without a court order. So he refused to cooperate with NSA. The stock was trading at $38 a share. he had built that company up. They had bought U.S. Communications, some other big U.S. West, another big company. Well, what happened after that? The government pulled all its contracts, all government contracts from West. The stock plummeted to $2 a share because the government was a big part of their business. Those guys that ran Quest were brought in some sort of fraud, you know. But the problem was they lost all those government contracts. That's what caused them. They couldn't afford to keep the company going anymore, and they tried different ways to get new business. Well, the government found ways to take them into court, and they were charged with securities fraud. But that's what happened to Quest. So when you tell me that Snowden is criminal, the criminal in this case is NSA. And if I see somebody breaking into a store and I know who they are, or even if I don't know who they are, I'm going to report that to the police. If someone breaks in my neighbor's house, I'm going to report that to the police. So, Goofy, I think you need to rethink whether or not he is a criminal. I think he's a hero.
So tell me how he's a hero. Tell me.
Because he exposed all this. He made people realize that the government has been doing this, and they were doing it way before 9/11.
And what are the people doing? Nothing. Sitting on their asses, realizing they're dumb.
I think young people, my generation, we're dying out. I think young people today are smart people are not going to put up with this in their future. Maybe we can't do much about it right now. I said that we need to vote the entire Congress out of power. We need screw the president. We need to vote.
It's great that you say all this stuff, but it's not going to happen. Millions of people before you have been trying to do this shit. It's not going to happen.
It is going to happen. You got to quit thinking like that. By saying it's not going to happen, you're perpetuating that belief. You have to say it is going to happen, and the youth today is not going to put up with this.
Cash,
they're not
going to
put up with being spied upon like we are.
Cash, you know how much other programs are on our asses too, Cat? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. You think the government really cares?
It's irrelevant whether
you?
Or not the people
it's
care are going to do anything. The thing is that once your privacy goes, everything else goes. What's your privacy?
Sure,
goes,
we're
I'm
not
afraid.
Free.
Huh?
Do you know the Constitution? Land of the free?
Yeah.
Well, we're not free. We pay taxes. You know what
I know
mean?
That.
Nothing's free here.
I got
and
it.
And everyone who has brains and common sense will realize you're tapped into the government regardless if you're fucking not tapped into the
but
government.
But that doesn't mean I have given up because of people who I consider to be fucking stupid because
let
I'm
me
apathetic.
Tell you something. We're all prisoners in this government, and our Social Security number, that's our ID.
The thing is, if people are outraged at this, they should have the right to stand up to the government. The thing is, once your privacy goes, everything else goes. You can't even have impartial juries anymore once your privacy goes.
Privacy went when they showed us that Will Smith movie where they could see your ass from a million miles away.
The enemy of the state.
That's when our privacy went.
But you can't be outraged. You can't be outraged at the fact
that
people aren't doing anything more than being outraged at the government.
Well, what are you doing, Joe? What are you doing besides herding goats and chilling out?
What I've done, I've contacted the 10 largest freedom-loving organizations to try to get them together. They didn't want it. I organized a coalition for Ron Paul back in 2007. When the slow kill apparatus started going on with the back-end scatter X-ray mobile vans, I contacted a lawyer to see what I could do about it. Since I didn't have any personal standing, I couldn't do anything about it. That's what I've done. I've also been an activist. I have given up on the American people because of their stupidity and their apathy, but that's what I've done. I haven't succeeded at what I've done because of the fucking stupidity and the apathy of the American people, but I've done
Let me tell you something, Joe. nothing, and I mean nothing, will get solved unless something happens out of the ordinary. And I do mean out of the ordinary.
Like Ellsberg.
Will they get a picture of, oh, shit, this is serious. Say, for instance, that there was a real character of the Joker. Let's take, for instance, the Joker, and he terrorized a whole city. Then people would start realizing, holy shit, this is some real shit that's going on. But what you're doing, Joe, you're just knocking off the sesame seeds off of a bagel. You're not
Didn't
even
you say
touching
the Joker.
I know what he's saying. The thing is that you're right. That's why I failed, because I try to get a hold of people to try to get them to be organized. But everybody believes, especially libertarians, that they're a candle in the dark, that they themselves can save the world. This world isn't going to be saved unless people unify. But
yeah,
you asked me what
I'm
doing.
Sorry to say that they're
doing.
Not going to unify.
The thing is, your outrage is, you have misplaced outrage. The thing is, you're saying, well, since the government's done it, we got to continue along with it. No, we don't. Okay? No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Why?
And I'm going to tell you why. In order to stay off the radar, just to take, for instance, in the Terminator days, they had the workers there so they don't get killed. you would rather get killed trying to stop it than just being under the umbrella, being protected by it?
Yeah,
serious, Joe. There's nothing we could do. You could get as millions of people to try to stop this shit. The damn thing's already embedded into the United States of America's code. It will not go away. Unless you blow up the White House and all the shit that's connected with it. Unless you sit there and completely blow up that whole shit.
What you're trying to do is justify your apathy.
Take down the building and then rebuild it again. That's what I'm telling you, Joe.
You're telling me what you're trying to do is justify your apathy for not doing anything.
It'll
still
be there.
Can I interject just for a moment? Can I interject just for a moment?
Because I need to get my blood.
I wanted to address something you said, but first I wanted to address what Kat said about the government. By definition, by law, the government cannot break laws. It's not possible. It doesn't work. So you can't sue the government and win, and you're not going to. Number two, and this is for Goofy, your Social Security number is not an ID. What your Social Security number is, that means that the United States of America is not a geographical location. It is a corporation. America is an actual geographic location. So in 1933, under Roosevelt, the United States defaulted on the loan once they created the Federal Reserve Bank. What we did in 1936, I believe it was either 36 or 38, we created the Social Security Act so that everybody who has a Social Security number, you are collateral on a defaulted loan. That's why you have a Social Security number. You're collateral on a loan that went bad. If you don't believe what I'm saying, and I always tell you.
No. I acknowledge your name says it all. And you're telling the truth. And you're dead telling the truth. But I'm telling you right now, the way they use the Social Security, that's like basically your ID.
Right. I feel your passion. But now that we got everybody tied into the electronic grid, and I always give people this example. Either you got a laptop, you got a desktop, you got an iPad, you got a Kindle, you got a cell phone. Everybody's got at least one of those things. And if you think back, when cell phones first came out, they were very hard to get. You had to go through a credit check. Then you had to sign a contract. You don't have to do none of that now. You can go buy a cell phone at Walmart. You can go buy a cell phone at BrandsMart. It don't even matter because they want everybody tied into the grid. That way, it makes it a lot easier to identify you. Your Social Security number just means that we got to keep you going until you die because, we got to get this loan paid back. That's never going to get paid back. because all we pay is the interest on the loan. So the loan just gets transferred from generation to generation. Think about the interest on a defaulted loan from 1933. And we're in 2000, and we're in 2013. The principal will never be paid. So we just gotta keep it going. We just gotta keep finding different ways to keep everybody in the system. And there's a reason why your Social Security number is 9 digits long. This is symbolic, the number 9. And it relates to a lot of different things. First of all, from conception to birth is how long? 9 months, typically.
And that, you know, does anybody know if you multiply anything to 9 and you add that all up, that will equal 9?
Yes.
Interesting.
Oh, listen to Goofy. Wow. I'm impressed. Yeah.
What?
Goofy. God dang. But he's from the Yay area, so I ain't even surprised.
Y'all think I'm some dumb Mexican smokes weed and fuck hoes all day? Hell no, I got a brain.
I wasn't trying to insult you, Goofy. I wasn't trying to insult you.
From someone telling me, from a name with knowledge of you, telling me that, I take that as a great compliment.
Oh, yeah, you do. And in spite of your delivery, because I know Lovin was making some compliments in the chat room, and she was calling all of us racist and everything, and I didn't really, I didn't even understand that. I didn't know where that was coming from, but a lot of, and I was trying to get her to understand, because she was making these comments about, why is he using so much profanity? And I was like, man, let that go. Listen to what he's saying. Don't get hung up on the window dressing. Don't get hung up on motherfucker and shit and all of this. Listen to what he's saying, because we all do that. And just like Mr. Talk said at the beginning of the show, it's a grown folks show. As long as we don't attack each other, it's all good. It's an open forum. Everybody's there to express their views in the way that you are most comfortable expressing them. And one of the things I love about your show, Mr. Talk, is that, you know, you're asking to be on television or something, and you probably wouldn't last long because you bring up too much real shit, and then they have to get your ass off of there because then they have to pull the sponsors, and it's like, he's messing this shit up, man. Go with that, all that old controversial shit. We trying to, as Goofy said, in terms of Joe, we trying to herd these sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And you fucking it up, man. You got my sheep all scattered. The sheep dogs can't keep control. My people can't keep control. And, you know, that's how our system works. So, Joe, there's a lot of credence to what you're saying. And, you know, I totally feel Goofy in what he's saying because, you know, he's coming from that ground floor. You know, he's coming from that street level. And a lot of times we try to discard people who come from that street level, and we shouldn't. Because to quote my man Christopher Walken in what was the movie with Wesley Snipes, Fishburne?
King of New York.
Yeah.
King of New York.
And to quote Christopher Walken, when he was talking to one of the dudes, he was like, one of the things that you can always trust is the word on the street.
You can always
trust that. What you can't trust is the word outside of the street. Because now you talk about money, you talk about politics, you talk about government. You don't know what the hell somebody's telling you. But when you hear shit on the streets, that's that real talk. And that's all I wanted to say about that. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Well said.
I apologize for my cussing all the time.
You grown.
So,
man, do your thing. Do your thing.
So it comes out naturally to me. I'm dead serious. No, it's seriously. It comes out naturally.
When I was little, I started
saying the F word. So,
you ain't got to apologize to nobody because you ain't disrespected nobody. You ain't called nobody no names. You just saying it how you feel like you want to say it. And, you know, that's America, just like with the Paula Deen thing. And we got into this discussion yesterday. And this young brother, 27 years old, man, this little nigga's a genius. And when we were talking about her saying the N-word and whether you should be allowed to do it or not, he said something that was very profound. He said, I don't want nobody taking away my right to say anything, and I don't want to take anybody's right to say what they want to say away. However, if you use the N-word in front of me and I knock
I'll
you the fuck
you
out,
up.
Then
that's, right.
that's the consequences.
Yeah. Yeah,
understand what you're using and what it might provoke. Do I want to take that away from you? No. You can say nigga all you want. But if you say it to me and I knock your teeth out, don't be mad.
Yeah, because with choices come consequences, right?
There you have it. There you
well,
got
Mr. Knowledge, I have
it's
to,
the cause
I have
of
to
effect.
Let you know. Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute, Ebony. Knowledge, I have to let you know one of the other house rules. You can't use that word on this show.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
And
you
I'm
didn't
surprised they didn't
him.
Catch
well
you on
done.
It. Huh?
Yeah, you didn't tase him. Well done.
Well, he didn't know. I'm surprised
well,
the rest
well,
of them
no,
did that.
My bad.
No, wait a minute. He was explaining something to me.
Well,
so
yeah.
I don't apologize
yeah.
on behalf of what knowledge. He didn't know. And
yeah.
he was explaining something to me. And,
right.
And I feel more responsible than ever, but. I'm sorry.
No, it ain't on you. I'll correct that, Mr. Talk. I'll correct that.
Okay.
I play by the rules till somebody clips me.
Somebody clips you.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't worry, you get zapped on this one. You won't get clipped, but
he's a man that wants to be clipped.
Oh,
wow.
Well, let's talk about how much
back
money
Ebony.
He cuts.
Back on Ebony.
Money.
I called that Ebony. I called that.
Yeah, I did too.
Clipped. Wow.
That's a sports Ebony. That's a sports euphemism. I used to play football. So when you get clipped, that means somebody comes up from behind and hits you in your knees. That's a whole different thing.
But clipped has another meaning as well. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. I
yeah.
got
it. We know Ebony. We know.
Okay.
Oh, man. Look, we 39 minutes over. That's what I like
yeah.
about it. Just take our
time. Well, can we talk about how much money this guy forked in to be right on front of Blog Talk Radio? What do you say, like 15 grand?
I know how much he pays.
Travis
Smiley. I'm going to check him out, find out.
Y'all talking about Travis Smiley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just, when I pulled it up today, I saw him for the first time. I was surprised. I was like, wow.
Yeah, me too. And I
he blew the whole page up.
Yeah,
he's a good-looking guy, though. He is a good-looking guy.
Oh, no.
Don't hate
him.
Wait
a minute, Ebony. Here we go.
Wait a minute. Hey, Ebony, not only is a good-looking guy, he's got money. He's been in the media for over 20 years.
Yeah, don't hate
and,
him.
And he's not married. He's not married.
He's not gay either. You know,
I don't know about all that now. Come
oh, there you go, there you go. Don't assume.
I didn't.
Oh,
I just told
man,
you
no.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you on the prowl, Ebony, and I thought you got
some guy.
I thought you had a guy that, you know, who's doing really well. And
yeah, I'm just recognizing BT when I see it. I, you know,
oh, okay.
I saw that it was a nice black man. And he looked cool, and I thought, right, okay, how did you get the whole of the front page in that way? And it did make me think. I was like, wow, what did he do to get that? You know, I can see you getting a little side slot and stuff, but how the hell did you get the whole of the front page? How did that
he
happen?
He has a TV show, and he holds a black forum every year with all the black dignitaries. I think that what do they call them, Mr. Talk? Is it the Black Summit or something that he does.
But I think he stopped that, though. I don't know.
Did he really?
I think he stopped that.
They carry that on C-SPAN. He'd be having Cornel West and Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, everybody that you can name who is somebody comes to that Black Summit show every year.
I have to go check him out. I'm going to check him out. I mean,
okay.
You know,
I want to see how much did he pay to get up there, because if he's going to do something stupid, like, I'm going to try to get that cash, and I want to put my fat face up there.
I'm pretty sure BTR paid him. That's good advertising.
Probably.
That's
maybe, yeah.
Now, there's no way Kevin Smalley wouldn't. Why would Kevin Smalley come to BTR on his own when he's got a show on PBS?
Yeah, and NPR, and he's got a regular show on national public radio as well.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, interesting.
So that's where our money's going, right?
Huh?
That's where our money is going because they must have used our premiums to go pay.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Now we know we've got to the bottom of it.
Joe, get that attorney ready. Get that attorney ready, Joe. All right, y'all. Look, it's 42 after. We finna get out of here. As I always do, let y'all get y'all last words in. Okay, and we're going to start with Kat, since we haven't heard much from you today. We'll let you be first.
Well, actually, I was talking, but then I realized I had muted my telephone because I was eating crackers. So it's my own fault. Anyway, nice to be here.
Go, Kat. Go, Kat.
All right.
Were they saltine?
No, they were like some yuppie crackers.
Yuppie?
Sesame and all kinds of stuff in them. And
are you using that as a racial slur?
I'm very racist when I pick my crackers out. I'm sorry. Y'all got me.
Well.
Okay. Well, what's your final word?
There's rules here, Kat, and you have to obtain to the rules. You cannot use racial slurs, even crackers.
Yeah.
Oh,
they were high yellow crackers.
Wow.
And then you want to throw in yellow.
She really went there.
Wow.
High yellow crackers. That's classic. Wow. That's classic.
I thought it was clever.
Yeah.
It is clever.
Not if you have been called high yellow your whole life is not clever. Move on. That's all.
I've been called a cracker.
Crackers is also another meaning in the UK. Crackers is also, it means you're mad.
Oh, okay. Kat, what's your final word?
That was it. I was eating high yellow crackers.
Oh, Lord. All right.
Wow.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right. Miss Ebony.
Oh, I'm next? I can't believe I'm next. Oh, wow. Okay. So my final words are really great show, Mr. Talk. I think so much wisdom here tonight. I was shocked by the level of wisdom from the guys, given that there wasn't that many women on tonight. So well done, guys. And I'm not being patronizing there. I'm just saying keeping it in the lane. It was a good conversation. My final words. Oh, you guys need to join my show tomorrow.
Okay.
Joe's not there. Good, he's not hearing me. Okay, so tomorrow we're talking about, it's going to be after your show, Mr. Talk, so don't worry. We're going to talk about a message that someone left on my Facebook page, asking why do men get away with having relationships when they've had lots of kids, but women who have lots of kids will, you know, hardly ever get, you know, recognized or dated by men. So there's an issue. Sorry?
That was going to be my show tomorrow.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So we can do one and two.
I know what happened. The same person sent it to both of us. We can do like we did last time, a simulcast. Remember that?
Yeah,
we can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I like to do joint things. I like to join it up. So no problem. No problem.
Okay. Well, you're probably going to have to change the time.
I'm on at 5, so I'm not on as early as you guys.
Yeah, that's the only problem. Well, we do my show, then we run over to your show. You know, we bring our knowledge to your show, and we go from there.
Yeah, lovely. Right. See you guys tomorrow.
All right, Ebony. Have a good one.
Okay.
All right. Into knowledge, you up next, brother.
As always, this has become easily one of my favorite shows because I like your format, Mr. Talk. I like the way you are able to mediate and handle things, and I think that's really good because you give people an opportunity to express themselves in the way that they feel most comfortable. I think that's a great thing, and I just want people to remember and always keep in mind that knowledge is useless if you don't share it. It doesn't really resonate when you just come across as an individual that has a whole bunch of information and you're just kind of spitting it out in a counterpoint format in reference to trying to negate somebody's argument. And it should always be, knowledge should always be used in a sense to enlighten the people that you're talking with. And one of the reasons why I chose that name is because I've been able to acquire information over the last 30, 40 years, and it's not information that anybody else doesn't have. You know, we all have different ways of articulating. So with that being said, I just want you to know that I appreciate you in spite of what any of your guests say, whether I agree or disagree. That's not even really important. The matter of the fact is that I know for myself, as the old saying goes, a wise man knows that he really knows nothing at all. I'm done.
Oh, my, that's deep. All right. Thank you, bro. And I'll be hitting you up offline because we have, I think we can do some things here together. But
okay.
Thank you. And you have a good one.
You too.
All right. Goofy, where you at?
I'm right here.
All right, go for it.
My thing is that don't ever judge nobody. People are people. You just got to give them the time to get, you just got to let them give you the time to know them. Because you wouldn't know someone could be your best friend unless you talk to them. You don't know what that person holds in store. And through this Trayvon Martin, Zimmerman case, I just hope that justice is served. There's a boy who's laying in the grave for nothing because someone had a thought thinking that he was on drugs and he looked suspicious just because what he was wearing. That's all I got to say.
All right, sir. Thank you. And
thank you.
And check you out later on tonight, probably. All right. Have a good one. Joe, where you at? Joe, have you gone to eat? You mute? All right. I guess Joe went outside to play with the sheep. Went back up into the mountains. All right, y'all, another outstanding show here on Let's Talk, and I want to thank everyone who participated. Oh, my goodness, Joe, Goofy, Cat, Ebony, Into Knowledge, Low, everyone on the line listening, chat room, of course, Bye-Bye Vin Benny, Loving Light. Oh, there's a whole bunch, a lot of folk out there today. And I want to thank everybody because without y'all, I wouldn't have a show, and that's for sure. And y'all all appreciate it. My ride or dies. That's how I call you, my ride or dies. All right. Well, you know, I usually have something profound to say at the end of the show, and I really don't have anything to say except for this. We know there's a big trial going on, and, you know, it's George Zimmerman. Let's be honest. Trayvon Martin is not the one on trial because he's no longer here. So it's George Zimmerman that's on trial. Now, yes, maybe, you know, he went about what he did the wrong way. Yes. And maybe we look at it, we have basically barbecued him before we hear everything. But if you really look at this, and as some of my callers said earlier, it's more to it right now than just George Zimmerman. It's more of America being on trial. It is. It's America on trial. Are we going to stand back and let things like this continue to happen? Or are we going to do the right thing and say, no, put a halt to it? You know, it is a shame that in that community, after all the big, all the marches and Sharpton and all them being in the little small town of Stanford, here's the thing. All right. Right now, there's no black leadership presence there. There's not. And why is that? Why is that? You know, it's amazing how now we're just going to sit back and see what happens. And if it doesn't come out the way we want it, then we're going to get up and raise sand. We should be raising sand now during the whole thing. That's what we should be doing. Not waiting till the verdict comes in and see if he's found guilty or not guilty. That's not the issue. The issue is we need to get up and start doing what we need to do to support our community. They say stop this. Stop profiling young black men. No, stop profiling young Hispanic men. Stop profiling minorities, period. And the sad thing, this was about another minority, basically. Even though Zimmerman may think he's white or whatever, you know, he's Hispanic. But yet, if we sit back and allow this to continue to go on like it is, we won't have to worry about it pretty soon because none of us will be here. And those are my final words for today. Remember, tomorrow's show, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 12 Pacific, and it'll be why do women accept men with kids, but men won't accept women with kids. That's the title of the show. It should be a good one, that's for sure. Also, make sure you keep smiling. Keep smiling, no matter what. Show appreciation. Make sure, you know, you're showing appreciation. Make sure you're not doing it just to get appreciation back, because in that case, you're wasting your time. All right? And forgive with an open heart. But remember, forgive yourself first. If you don't get forgive yourself first, then you're wasting your time on that one, too. All right, y'all. That's it for me. It was fun. I enjoyed it, but I got to go. So we're going out of here with the song of the day, Man in the Mirror, by the late Michael Jackson. Until tomorrow, people, I'm out.
Somebody